about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's the calm before the storm right here.
Wait, how was I gonna start this off? I forgot. Oh, yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
When I hear that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing.
No, I don't have... When I listen to Never Would Play That.
You can see where people enjoy listening to Harvey Levin speak.
Is a sentence I never thought I'd say in this lifetime.
I don't listen to so much stuff you all say.
Thank you. I'm just trying to get away from that guy's boner.
Hi, I'm Carrie Dubek, and I'm reading for the role of Man at Party Who Smells Fart. Great party. Thank you.
Okay, great. Let's go again, but this time I think the fart is just bigger and fatter.
And now...
got my attention. I am listening.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 28th of January.
Hey, kids.
I did it briefly today, you guys. Briefly.
What?
Took the wrong way to work.
Oh.
Just briefly.
Oh, finally.
Supposed to come on the 101, took the 405 south like I used to last September. When was it? When did we move?
Yeah, September, October.
But then realized it right away and got back off and went on the right way.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's close.
Would have been nice.
It was very close.
We are stunned that that hasn't happened, not just to you, but to any of us that have worked in that building for so long.
I am also stunned that that it hasn't happened to me more. But
And that it only took one exit.
Right?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Pretty sharp.
Course correction, yeah.
Good job.
Yes. Thank you.
Guys, we're going to Hotlanta.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm trying to bring Hotlanta back.
No need, really.
Oh, no. Sounds natural.
Which, from some people. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. This may not be the time to bring Hotlanta back, as it's snowing there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But by the way, the Kevin Bean trip to Atlanta is brought to us by TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand, which I am happy to say. I got to get me a new TV now.
Okay.
I don't know if that's part of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think we get TVs. Maybe other people do.
Oh, I think there is word that we're going to be giving away some TVs while we're broadcasting.
Oh, all right.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yeah.
So we can just take one?
So this this week, of course, is, you know, the Ramley has Rams fever. Mm-hmm. And it's been funny watching the news try to capture the excitement because I complain a lot about what they put on the news.
Right.
As you know. And I
but then you defend it like crazy when there's a car chase on.
That's you.
You don't. You're the one.
No, I'm saying he defends the news like crazy, as if everything's important.
Oh,
yeah.
Got it.
Yes,
got
I want.
It isn't because
I want there to be good news, but right. I understand that the temptation this week, leading up to the Super Bowl, is that. Just being careful, is that you're going to interview a bunch of Rams fans.
Right.
And the Rams fans, miraculously, all guarantee that the Rams are going to win.
Right. So because you're already tired of the man on the street interview? With,
I am.
Do you think they're going to win?
I'm already tired of the man on the street interview. Yes.
All right, that's all we're going to do then.
I am already tired of interviewing super fans of a team about who they think is going to win the game. What do they expect to come out of those interviews? And how am I, the home viewer, impacted in a positive way by seeing a Rams fan express that he wants the Rams to win the Super Bowl?
It would be funny if he's like, I'm going to be honest, I don't think we're going to win.
Right. We're going to get close, we're going to play well, but I just don't think
everyone's going to play their hardest, but in the end, we're going to come up short.
I would respect that. I would. I
yeah,
really
same.
Would.
Yeah.
The Randy's Donuts, painting the donut Rams colors.
Mm-hmm.
That's legit.
I love that
stuff.
I think
that's news. Yeah. I think covering the hundreds of people that were there for the farewell party, the kickoff to the trip party yesterday, I think that was legitimate news.
Looked like a lot of fun.
I like the people who bought fraudulent tickets. That's very common during.
Oh, that's a good one too.
I love that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then CBS Channel 2 did a very lengthy report. We don't have to get through all of it, where they talked to a fan who wants to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, this is. This is what was on the news.
This woman has been a Rams fan
all her life.
Her love for the team is off the charts. CBS 2's Rachel Kim is live in Fullerton, where she caught up with this super fan.
Yeah, Jeff and Pat, our colleague Leslie Marine first met Diane Wallace this past weekend in New Orleans before Sunday's game. While her love and passion for the Rams made such an impression on us, we wanted to catch up with her again back here at home.
Okay, so it's legit that she's enough of a fan that she traveled to New Orleans to see the NFC Championship game, right?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Do we need a follow-up with her?
Unless they're surprising her with Super Bowl tickets, I don't care.
And by the way, don't think that hasn't occurred to me since this interview is on CBS,
right,
the network that is airing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well,
let's see if they tease her with that.
I'm only interested if it's fraudulent tickets, but go on.
I grew up here. I can't imagine rooting for another team.
Rams to the Super Bowl!
It was a kick that Diane Wallace had been waiting for her whole life. Because a score would mean the Super Bowl.
Okay, we get it. They won the game and they're going to the Super Bowl.
You're already so tired of it. Come
I'm
on,
way
man.
Tired of this. So she's a Rams fan.
It's exciting.
And she's happy that they're in the Super Bowl. I don't understand what how this is news. I don't get it.
Wow.
I mean, it's not done yet.
The 81-year-old lifelong Rams fan got her wish Sunday afternoon as she watched her beloved team beat the Saints in New Orleans.
By the way, spending plenty of time banging that point home, aren't they? Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
She went to New Orleans. Man, she was in New Orleans.
And the Rams won that game, and they're going to the Super Bowl. If you missed it, that final score, they had more points than the Saints did, so now they're heading to Atlanta for the Super Bowl.
Were you happy, ma'am?
I absolutely said I have to go to a Super Bowl with the Rams before I die.
One look at Diane, and there's no question
she's going to die soon.
From head to toe, blue and gold. Her goal now is to go to Atlanta to watch the Rams score a Super Bowl victory.
We get it. She wants to go to the Super Bowl. I think that point has been made.
I'd like to move on to why can't she? How did she get to, you know, New Orleans? Something like that.
Yeah, she has the ability to travel for
right.
the team. What are we? What's going on?
Clearly, yes. Great. All great questions, none of which are asked in this report.
The Super Bowl in 80, but I wasn't, you know, there, and they didn't win. We're winning this time.
We're winning this time. Okay, I didn't realize that was happening. Okay, well, then you should be there, right?
We're gonna win.
Okay.
This is my room. This is my Rams room.
Meantime, Diane showed us what she's collected over 30 years.
Okay. Now,
take us around your house and show us your Rams memorabilia.
Now we're looking at her collection of Rams memorabilia. Again, what does this do for me, the home viewer?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
All things Rams.
My old sweats. They're 35 years old.
Okay. This is on the news.
I love it. Now I turned around. Now I love it.
The senior citizen love showing it. Us her stanky old 35-year-old sweatpants.
Now I'm in.
Come on.
Because isn't the follow-up, why don't you buy a new set of those?
We fall into a very specific fetish for Kevin.
Yes.
I still wear them to the game.
Oh, do you now?
From old ticket stubs to football cards, Diane loves to make noise about her team.
This was the Ramit horn from the Booster Club.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. You're crazy, Bean. You were out way too early. Now it's getting good. You got the little clown horn?
We're looking at an 81-year-old blowing a horn, though.
Wasn't a horn.
Whatever.
Right now, Diane is counting down to February 3rd, and she's got one thing to say.
Do you think she wants to go to the Super Bowl, you guys?
No, I think she'd rather be at home eating dip.
I'm very much surprised that she hasn't already figured out a way to go.
Yeah.
If she travels too.
Yeah. Be great if they asked her.
What else? We're going to win. We got to win.
Okay, well, you heard Diane. Her lifelong dream is to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So Rams or anyone else out there, if you can hook her up, please let us know.
Oh.
So they leave the old lady hanging.
Womp, womp.
CBS comes into her house, listens to her ramble on for an hour about how much she needs to go to the Super
Show
Bowl.
Show us her little tchotchkes.
Watches
okay,
her,
good,
you know,
good luck
up,
with that.
Muster up enough breath to use a horn.
Oh,
dust comes out the other side of the horn.
And then they just drive away. Beat it, Granny. Yeah.
You know she had to think the whole time. They're totally surprising me, right?
Uh-huh.
This is what this is all coming to, right?
They'll come back, right?
Oh,
they're going to come back.
So sad.
What if she doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, you guys? Okay. What if she dies of a broken heart this week?
But here's the thing. The Rams have been to, this will be what, their fourth?
Yes. Where the hell was she in 2001? And she's a lifelong Rams fan when they won.
She's older than the Rams.
Probably in prison.
So, we didn't think about that. Yeah. Didn't think about that.
Maybe it only counts for her if they're the L.A. Rams. Maybe she turned her back on the St. Louis years.
Well, she's not a real fan, is
That's what I'm saying.
Mm. Yeah, F this granny, right?
Exactly. What bad things for her.
No, we don't.
Bean, I got news for you. It's just now Monday.
I know.
So you have Tuesday through Sunday.
Yeah, I do. It's true.
Don't watch all the news.
My head's going to explode, you guys.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Tell me, what is it about me that screams loser?
People are making fun of me because of my opposite weekends. So I'm going to have to describe it for you.
Yes, please.
Also, Omar discovered Instagram stories over the weekend. And he's doing good work.
He's doing good work.
He is the Scorsese of Instagram stories now.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was late to the party, but he's making it all worth it.
Correct,
right?
Yes. That's Monday, so we have great news. We are going to talk to people about things to do in Atlanta. And we have Professor Brian Cox in the studio later on this morning.
Your mortal foe, Kevin.
I mean, look, he's smart. All right, so what? So am I.
That's what I'm saying. Is it's really just, it's a matter of one or two, IQ points.
Thank you.
But he's always bragging about, oh, I'm so smart. Oh, I'm a physicist. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you're much more modest about your ability.
Thank you, Bean. Thank you for noticing that.
It is going to be weird to have you both in the same room.
It is.
Yeah, it's a lot of brain power.
I mean, your giant heads are going to collide probably.
Noggins.
We are going to.
And create a black hole.
We all get to
suck the earth into it.
We all get to go into a dimension, yeah.
But you don't have to watch the news anymore about the Rams, Bean.
Oh, there is an upside.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Allie!
Yeah.
What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening?
Wow.
Seriously, though, I just want to know what's happening.
All right, help the lady out.
All right. Well, I'd like to tell you about the box office.
Please.
Kevin, have you seen any movies lately?
I saw one this weekend.
What did you see?
But it was related to my opposite day, so I don't...
Okay, don't tell us.
Okay.
Don't tell us.
I saw one this weekend.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
What?
The Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Excellent. What do you think?
Yeah. It's okay.
All right.
Right, quite the review.
I didn't love it, but it is a fascinating story for folks who haven't heard of it because it's kind of a smaller movie. It's about a writer who decided that she was going to fabricate historical letters and then sell them on the collectible market. So she would sit down and she would pretend to write a letter from Oscar Wilde or from Dorothy Parker or somebody like that. That would make it worth several hundred dollars. Then she would go out and sell it. And she did over 400 of them before she got caught.
Wow.
Making thousands and thousands of dollars. So a pretty interesting story and a true story, by the way. And Melissa McCarthy is, she's a terrific actress in drama.
Yeah, it was quite a turn for her, right?
It was, very much so, yeah.
Excellent.
So that was me. I doubt that one made the top 10, though.
I don't think it did. I only have the top 5 here, but M. Night Shyamalan's Glass topped the box office once again, adding $19 million in its second week of release. It's made $73.5 million domestically.
Wow.
Did you see that
one? Wow, I did not.
You did not?
I haven't met one person who loved it yet.
Neither have I.
Interesting.
No, everyone just goes, it's not great.
But I mean,
they go.
Yeah. A lot of people are probably invested because they saw the previous ones and they kind of want to see how the story wraps up, right?
Right. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, $73.5 million domestically. Not bad for 2 weeks, right?
He's back.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. He's back. Yeah.
Coming in at number 2, The Upside, followed by Aquaman, The Kid Who Would Be King, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. There's not a lot out right now.
There really isn't.
People love That Kid Who Would Be King, though. Very good reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like a 90 or something on Rotten.
I hear Patrick Stewart's amazing in that.
Yeah.
They're saying it bombed.
Bombed?
Because it only made $7 million.
Well.
Which I guess is a bomb nowadays in your first weekend out.
Coincidentally, people love that, but people haven't liked Glass. So you tell me.
I don't know.
They also put a number on what's going to make it successful or not.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't reach that number, but it still makes money.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't care.
Hollywood.
Right?
Huh. And also, and I will say this, and this is no breakthrough brilliant idea, but some movies play in the theater for longer than a week. It doesn't have to make all of its movie in 1 week.
Yeah.
All of its, money in 1 week.
Yeah.
You know, it can continue to build, and sometimes good word of mouth, it ends up being a profitable, tidy little picture.
That's what Green Book is doing. Green Book's doing great numbers over time.
The Kid Who Would Be King made $7 million in wide release, and it cost $60 million to make. That's pre-marketing. So I guess to them, that is considered...
They got a long way to go.
Yeah. A womp womp.
How about that Matthew McConaughey movie, though?
That's supposed to be... Big bomb.
Yeah.
Terrible, right?
Serenity, right?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Save it for opposite day.
That doesn't sound like opposite day. Terrible Matthew McConaughey movie sounds on brand for you, Kevin.
Dare you, sir.
Goodness gracious, you guys. Well, the crowd at Las Vegas' Park Theater this weekend was treated to quite a surprise on Saturday night at the Lady Gaga show. A Star Is Born director and co-star Bradley Cooper showed up and joined the singer for a finale performance of Shallow.
That's a great movie, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You really like
that.
It? Mm-hmm. Mm. The
I'm
song,
sorry,
of course...
I watched it, but... Yeah. I fell asleep.
Okay, sorry. Okay. The song, of course, nominated for an Academy Award last week, and it's the closing number of the show, so really took people by surprise to see him stroll out and sing with Lady Gaga up there, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
What a treat.
He's very handsome.
You really do like him.
I mean, how can you not?
Did you guys see any of Rent last night?
I did not.
I came across it, and then I realized it was Rent.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, I was watching the polar opposite, The Royal Rumble.
Very different. Yeah. Very different.
The opposite of Rent.
Yeah. Well, Fox had the 3-hour live broadcast of the Broadway musical Rent. However, it encountered a very serious speed bump the day before during rehearsals when one of the leads, the gentleman that plays Roger, actor Brennan Hunt, broke his right foot during Saturday's dress rehearsal.
Wow.
Which is a problem regardless of, just doing a live show. When your live show involves a ton of dancing and rushing up and down stairs of multiple sets. So the way they handled it was they had to combine some of the footage from dress rehearsals with the live broadcast. And then at certain points, he sat on tables. Just randomly, hey, why is Roger on a table? Oh, because he can't move. And then in the finale, he joined the cast in a wheelchair. So not quite a 3-hour live broadcast if they also had to incorporate taped parts. But
see, they don't know how to get viewers like me. Let that guy sing and dance and try and go up and down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm watching.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I'm watching that.
I would think if you break your foot the day before... In rehearsal, you're a little loop-de-looped, aren't you? Or was he just like, I can't take any pain pills because I have to do this performance?
Oh, there was a... That was from the footage.
That was from last night?
That's from the footage, yeah.
Dumb question.
Mm-hmm.
Are there not understudies for performances like this?
There are, but I think when it's a broadcast on television, it's a whole different ballgame.
Okay.
So he...
They
I
had
mean,
their heart set on that. That
yeah,
actor, right?
And how sad that this was, like, probably all he was looking forward to for years... Or months, however long he's been practicing for this. And then he breaks his foot. That's real sad. Oh, there he goes again.
He keeps falling.
He does. Oh, he should be wearing a boot. Something going on. I'm just real sad for Brennan Hunt is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Until I saw that his name was spelled B-R-E-N-N-I-N.
Come on, Brennan.
Come on, dude. Anywho. Oh,
it's having a hard time today.
Yeah, it really is. Some birthdays for you. Actors, Elijah Wood, Ariel Winter, singer Sarah McLachlan, boy banders Nick Carter and Joey Fatone, and rappers J. Cole and Rick Ross. And that's what's happening.
By the way, Death Cab for Cutie is playing the Hollywood Bowl in August. We got tickets for that. And you qualify for K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 3, which is Death Cab for Cutie in Sydney, Australia. I can't do it like Oprah does.
I don't think you can, no.
9 o'clock this morning and every day this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then on K-Rock at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. as well. That's, as I say, Wheels Up, Destination Number 3. All this week, Death Cab, Hollywood Bowl, and Australia, including 3-night hotel stay, round-trip airfare. Get your details at krock.com.
So Friday we were talking in the meeting afterwards, and you guys pointed out that it was International Opposite Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I was surprised.
A lesser known holiday. I was very surprised that even existed.
I'm surprised we didn't have the day off.
Thanks, Obama.
So then somebody brought up my opposite weekends, which I do occasionally. Here's the thing.
And Jensen, you have not heard of this yet.
Never.
The Opposite Weekend.
Okay. I make snap decisions on what movies I might like or music that I might like, or I get a band and I hear one song I don't like and I go, all right, well, that's that band. So sometimes it's good to go outside your comfort zone to find something else. Mm-hmm. So I pick a weekend and I do the opposite of what I want to do.
Okay.
Sometimes it's torture.
Right.
Sometimes you go, hey, I didn't know I would like that. This is fantastic. This is opening my mind a little bit.
Nice.
So I started
out. That's a good incentive, I think.
Well, that's what I thought, too. I get in ruts. I also, by the way, when I listen to music, and we'll talk about music in a second, I'll listen to an album. I'll find a song I like, and then I'll listen to that song nonstop for 3 days. I won't listen to another song. It's just, I don't know why I'm that way.
Yeah, huh. There's something wrong with you there.
So I sit down on Friday, and I start flipping around the TV, and I think, what would I like the least to watch right now? So I go
She's
to the,
fan.
So I go to the food channel, which I just can't stand.
Because you hate food shows.
I hate food shows. And Guy Fieri?
Mm-hmm. Fieri.
Fieri? He has something called Grocery Games. And it's a ridiculous game where they have chefs and stuff like that where they run with their carts around the store and they have to put food in, and then they have to cook it, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Okay.
Sounds terrible.
But that doesn't sound like Opposite Day. That just sounds like you're torturing yourself.
Well, yeah, that's what it turns out to be sometimes.
Okay.
But every once in a while, I'll get something out of it that I'll go, wow, that really changed the way I see things or the way I'm doing things.
And that's why you watch Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
Oh, no, don't be ridiculous.
Can't go that far.
So then Saturday night was the NHL All-Star Game. Mm-hmm. So I thought, what's the opposite of that? A play.
Oh, wow.
So I called my daughter and I said, do you want to go see Wicked? Because she loves Wicked.
Oh, my God.
Instead of watching the NHL All-Star Game.
You went to see Wicked?
It's time to try defying gravity.
Now, while that's outside my comfort zone, and I don't usually go see a play.
Right.
My daughter loved it, so that was kind of a cheat.
And Wicked's rad.
Sure.
Right? Did you love it?
I did love it, yeah.
So you weren't able to watch the NHL All-Star Game at all. You just watched Wicked.
Right.
Wow.
I don't know you anymore.
This feels weird.
Opposite Kevin.
So then I decided to go to a movie.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, here's the way I'm going to pick. I'm going to go to a theater, and I'm going to watch whatever movie starts in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to buy a ticket to and go.
Love that. Love that.
Right?
Yeah, love it.
Why do you love it?
I just think that's cool. I don't think I've ever done that.
I went there, and I said, which is, whatever it is. And it was Serenity.
Oh.
And I didn't know anything about Serenity, so I was like, all right, I'll take a ticket.
Yeah, the only press that movie got ahead of it opening was just, it's awful.
Oh, no.
I mean, it was awful.
Okay.
Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway. Mm-hmm. It's this long story, and it's sort of, if you're worried that I'm going to spoil it, I am going to give out a spoiler.
Okay.
So if you're going to watch Serenity, which I highly doubt, tune out just for about 30 seconds. It has, I See Dead People?
Uh-huh.
It has that kind of twist at the end.
Oh.
But you figure it out halfway through, and so does Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
And he's like, what? Right. Why did they give it away in the middle of the movie? And then you're just sitting there going, all right, I'm watching it play out, but I already know what happens.
Oh, that's not good.
So that was nonsense. So I did not like that. And then I decided to change my musical taste. Now, there's a lot of music that I like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't pick hip-hop. I don't pick rap. I don't pick EDM. Mm-hmm. So I could have picked something like opera, which is just torturous, but I picked country music.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a mistake.
So I listened to country music all weekend.
Oh, modern country.
It was on satellite. It was like Roadhouse or
something. Oh, okay. That's the good stuff.
Yeah,
that's the good stuff. Okay. Yeah.
So first I heard this song.
Been a cowboy. I should have learned to road.
Should have been a cowboy. And that's when I realized why I don't listen to country music.
That's Toby Keith from 1993. That's a smash.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
That's good stuff right there, Kevin.
Then I came, I played Dan and Shay, who I am not familiar with at all.
They're very hot
right
now.
Yeah.
They're having a moment.
Okay, they're new. Okay,
they'll be playing at the Grammys.
So they have a song called Speechless.
Yes, big song.
And I'm speechless. You already know that you're my weakness.
All right, I didn't can hate that.
Okay.
That sounds like a good song.
Now, when you're listening to this country music, are your fingers just so itchy to hit a button to go back to one of the channels
anything you know you love? Or my phone, anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I guess I thought you were going to do opposites of stuff you know you'd like, but you seem to be just pushing towards things you wouldn't like.
It's the opposite of what I would like. So what I would like to do is listen to my favorite music.
The opposite of things you like is technically the things you don't
like. Well, I guess so. I guess because on occasion you can realize, oh, I was closed-minded on that. I do like that.
We haven't found that yet, really.
We haven't found that yet.
Right, okay. Just letting you know.
So far, it's a lost weekend.
And then the final song that I heard that made me absolutely stop opposite weekend was...
Now I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack.
You guys know this song?
Is that about pancakes?
It's Bobby Bear, right?
It is Red Solo Cup.
Oh, right.
Oh,
this
Red Solo Cup.
Yes.
He's singing to his...
That's right.
Yeah. Red
big
Solo
song.
Cup.
Yeah,
we used to make fun of that.
I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack.
He's talking to a cup.
Yes, that's right.
Beer
that's
runs all... down in front of my back. Well, that, my friends, is quite yucky.
All right.
Red Solo Cup. I feel
we used to make fun
up.
Of that song all
Let's
the time. That's...
Have a party.
That's also Toby Keith, by
that's
the way.
That's terrible.
Nope. That's a terrible song. Yeah.
And that's when I decided to change and stop doing Opposite Weekend
so
and go back to stuff
been,
I like.
Has there ever been anything during Opposite Weekend that you've like added into your normal routine?
I found some songs.
Okay.
A few country songs that I liked. I found, I don't remember the name of it now, but I did see a movie that I thought I would hate and I ended up loving it.
Hmm.
But for the most part, I do the things I do because I like them. Mm-hmm. And the things that I don't do, for the most part, are things that I wouldn't like.
I think you saw First Man on an opposite day.
I did see First Man. That's true.
I thought that was an opposite.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, all right. See.
That was a really good movie. But
I think that
when
is...
When it ends with Red Solo Cup, man.
Yeah, I think that is a commendable habit, by the way.
You do?
Yeah.
I really do.
I thought you were going to mock me endlessly.
No, I think it's smart. Why not? There's a lot of good stuff out there that just doesn't cross our ear holes or our eyeballs. And like you said, you might stumble upon something you really, really like
well,
that you didn't
one
know
of those,
anything about.
One of those things is not Serenity. I'll tell you that right now.
Do I hear our friend DJ Omar Khan in the room?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Man,
What's up, bro? I'm so excited
that we're going to Atlanta, too, because, you know, I've been a huge fan of Coca-Cola.
Oh, we're not.
Since Atlanta,
Omar?
There's this huge Coca-Cola museum.
Hey, Omar.
I'm so excited that I'm finally going to get to visit it.
There's two people.
Amazing.
There's two people that aren't going.
Who? You said that Kevin and Bean show is broadcasting from Hotlanta, right?
You.
Am I not part of the Kevin and Bean show?
Nah. Tangentially.
Damn.
And Chip.
Damn it.
Has to run the board.
You bastards.
How did you discover Instagram stories? And why did it take you so long?
Why did it take you 5 years after everyone else?
Allie was the one that truly made me LOL on Instagram
because
stories.
Because she's an artist.
Aww.
Yeah.
Thank
she's
you.
An Instagram story artist.
Yeah, for the most part, people will just post a picture and be like, oh, hey, at blah, 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 here's my food, blah, 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 hashtag foodie. Or that's super boring for me, right?
Right.
Allie made me laugh out loud, especially when she was being tortured by some birds.
Oh, she hated that so much.
Yeah, Here's a little bit of that.
You guys hear that? It's constant. It's like 5 a.m. till about 9 p.m. It's like living in a Disney movie that you just want to end.
Yeah, and it goes on and on, and it was very funny, very funny. And the reason I'm late to the party is because I've had a crappy phone for the last year and a half or so.
Oh, okay.
And now I having a new phone and something that's very fast and quick is mind-blowing because you literally can think of something creatively and do it in a minute.
Yeah.
Right? And for me, this I don't know why it resonates so much with me because you just do it. And on Twitter, for some reason, it's just not the same. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know how to explain it.
It's because you can put different videos, different things that you can add
to
your
story. Little emojis and stuff.
It's also only 15 seconds, so you can sort of work your way through it pretty quickly.
Yeah. So last week sometime, I was making dinner. I was making stir fry in my wok. And I was just like, hey, it'd be funny if I put that little clip of the Beastie Boys song. And this is what my first story. And it's so dumb. I mean, my stories aren't like a story. They're like non sequiturs,
right?
Like Allie like builds a story, right,
sure.
And tells something that's happening in her life. Mine are all just nonsense.
All right,
right.
I like it.
Coming in every morning, there's we work here with Amp, and there's a big picture of J-Lo.
Right.
And she's squatting down. And every single time, I'm like, how funny would it be to just put a poop emoji on there? And with Instagram stories, you can do that. You know? And then this is me telling my followers what's happening.
Remember when we used to talk to J-Lo's ass?
And then there's a big just picture of J-Lo's ass and a big poop emoji. And it looks like she's taking it. You know what I mean?
All right. I just want to butt in and say, I don't care all that much about Omar's Instagram stories, but the joy that it's bringing
him.
It's unbelievable.
So happy. It's rare that we're able to see behind the curtain of a true filmmaker.
It's true. Yeah.
And on the Snapchats, they have this hot dog filter.
Sure.
So you could go on the Snaps, and then you could record it, download it, upload it to your stories. And I love me the hot dog chat.
Yes, you do.
Okay. This is an example of one.
Hey, I'm a hot dog. Also, I look like a penis.
it's a hot dog with a mouth.
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah. Is at DJ Omar Khan if you want to follow me. I'm very funny.
Do you think you just sold that?
Yeah. Just realizing this might not go over well in radio to go over Instagram stories.
And this is another one I thought was funny.
I love my mic. It's big, long, and black.
Which is true. It's just big, long, and black.
Okay.
And there's also, I do like close like zooms of my nose, and I let people know, like, vote if I need to trim my nose hairs.
What
and then,
is happening?
I do updates, and then I, you know, take a picture of it. It's all fresh and so clean. This is me going to the bathroom.
Poop-dee-scoop.
Oh,
scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
Do you show? What do you show? Just you on the toilet?
Just me, kind of zooming down. Do you know what catherwooding is?
Just the feet. Sure.
Just the feet. Yeah, just the feet.
But no poo, actually.
No poo. But the second one shows me as a poop head. You go to the snaps, and you could literally be this dancing guy, and your head is a big poop. And
I can tell that this one made you happier than any others.
Yeah, totally. So it's me dancing around as a poop head with this music. So happy. I'm very funny, guys. And
you guys remember the good old days before Omar had Instagram Live?
Yeah, what? I mean, it was only a week ago.
You mean a week ago, Dean?
Yeah.
And this is my hot dog one again.
Hey, I'm a hot dog again. What's that on my chest? That's not mustard.
Oh my gosh.
And let's go to the last one really quick because this is. Me with the poop filter again, and
no way.
What do you mean, no way? Yeah. Have you met him?
Oh my god! And so me and my daughter we're snapheads, and we just love the Snapchat. So this is us doing one with me as the poop head.
I like the poop. 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 I like the poop.
At DJ Omar Khan, guys, you guys gotta follow me.
Oh man,
Child's Protective Services, guys, you guys. Gotta follow him.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Got great news coming up just after 7 a.m. First Alley's here with another look at what's happening on this Monday morning.
You guys, I feel like if you steal something from a location where something really awful went down, that's real bad karma coming for you, right?
I would think so. Yeah.
So maybe at the Bataclan in Paris, where 90 people at an Eagles of Death Metal concert were shot and killed by terrorists, that's not the place that you're going to steal a Banksy, which is exactly what happened on late Friday night. A Banksy mural outside of the Bataclan that paid tribute to the victims was stolen. It was painted on a fire exit door. It's a veiled woman in mourning. And somebody, they say a group of hooded individuals armed with grinders came and
they
just
knew what they were doing.
Took it off the wall, put it in a van, and took off.
There's nothing you can do with it. That doesn't even make sense.
How can you sell that?
It's crazy.
It's funny that it's like stealing the Mona Lisa. It's so well known. It doesn't matter how valuable it is. You can't get any money for it.
Right.
And Banksy's the only person who can give you like a provenance on it, like to prove that it's real, like a sort of a certificate of authenticity.
So if he doesn't do it, there's no way to sell it, even if people would buy it?
Yeah. Or at least you wouldn't get the value you want for it.
Is he heavily copied in places around the world, Jensen?
Yes, heavily, heavily copied, yeah. Yeah, I mean, even if you go into Central Park into like their weird little art section, it's like there's people selling canvases of just, you know, his famous girl with a balloon and rats and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to get, I mean, clearly anything from him. But if you're going to steal it, it doesn't help that much.
Oh, first of all, you stole it. A, that karma. Mm-hmm. B, anyone that would buy it. Yeah. That's bad karma. This is all just real bad.
Yeah.
I don't like any of it.
Well, I hope somebody puts it up on his wall and then a shredder comes out and just reduces it to
You think he's done that with every single thing
every
he's
piece.
Done?
Yep.
Just a hidden shredder in a door.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Well, Halsey is hosting Saturday Night Live next month. She was confirmed to not only be the host, but musical guest for the upcoming February 9th episode.
That surprised me.
Yeah. I don't know if Halsey is she funny? Is she improv-y? Can she do that kind of thing? Do we know?
No, I don't. I have no idea.
I would guess she has confidence that she can, because that seems like a really difficult job to host and be the musical person.
Yeah, it's a very rare talent that you can pull both of those off.
It was Ariana Grande who was always very funny, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, she was good.
Mm-hmm. She's always funny.
Justin Timberlake was
Miley
really good.
Miley Cyrus
on
is
SNL.
Funny. Yeah. It's possible.
It is possible, and we'll find out on February 9th, you guys. Well, this dating app is something that, it's amazing. And Jensen said he actually had thought about this for years.
Yes.
You had to get on it sooner.
I know, but I used to tell people about it. You tell them what it is, I'll tell you what people used to say it wouldn't work.
Well, how much do you trust your friends? There's a new dating app called Ship, and it's by the makers of Tinder, Plenty of Fish, OkCupid. And it's different in that it allows your friends to choose matches on your behalf.
Don't people hate blind dates for that exact reason?
Somewhat, but don't you trust your friends enough to at least maybe give you a kind of an inkling of who would be good for you?
It depends. Like, I'm not putting Omar in my friend group.
No. Good call. No.
Yeah, here's the thing, Allie. I think I would have in the pre-Bodie McBoatface internet that we now, the world we now live in.
Right.
I feel like now people would vote for the worst possible person for comedy.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think if it's a dating app.
It depends on who your friends are. That's what I said.
It depends on who your friends are.
After one friend chooses someone, that person's profile is then put into a group chat where the account holder and the other friends can discuss the match further.
Oh, interesting.
It's then ultimately up to the account holder to choose whether or not they want to match with the person that their friends chose.
Do they see the face then at that point?
I assume so.
So then it's never blind. I like this. This is great.
Yeah. Seems good because they're all agreeing on it.
Yeah.
It's more than just one person.
And they get to discuss. And I always feel like I should have listened to my friends more in my dating history. And then when I found my wife, they were all like, this is the one.
I'm sorry, who?
You found who?
Sorry. My wife.
Okay.
When they found her, when I found her, it was basically like, oh, yeah, that's the home run. And I listened to them and it worked out.
All right.
I think you should do this.
Okay.
Ship. Yeah.
With a P as in Peter.
Right.
That's what the kids say. Do you know
I ship them.
They ship them.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what the kids are all saying.
Bean says that too occasionally. It's very disturbing.
He really does. He really does.
It's a legitimate term.
It's really disturbing.
In the world.
Yes, it is.
It's part of the English language.
Yes,
I don't think there's an age limit on that term.
I do.
Where are we going for the big game?
Hotlanta.
Yeah, all right.
It's not Point the taken. Age, Bean.
Point taken. All right, you guys, some birthdays for you. You've got rappers Rick Ross, J. Cole, boy banders, Joey Fatone, Nick Carter, singer Sarah McLachlan, and some actors for you, Arielle Winter and Elijah Wood. And that's what's happening. Something just like this.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. I think that song is over.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:06.
You guys.
Bean.
It's Monday.
Right.
Time to hear some great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for
that if one of the LA channels in the very competitive news marketplace.
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yep.
So if Channel 7 said, hey guys, tune in to us at 11 tonight, you'll hear 30 minutes of great news.
Yes, I do.
I got news for you.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Really?
No, absolutely not.
Because if it bleeds, it leads?
Absolutely. Yeah.
They would get destroyed.
Destroyed.
What if they did it in a non-news hour? Like, it's not up against the news.
They have tried that.
Really?
They've tried it on different channels. A woman named Michaela that I used to work with at KTLA did a show on CNN that was essentially all inspiring, wonderful stories. Mm-hmm. It's gone now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because people say they want it. They're not going to tune in for it.
Hey, way to bring us down, Bean.
Yeah,
no, I didn't bring us down. I was the one who was suggesting it would be a great idea. Because there is a way to cover, like if there's a fire, maybe the way it's written is not that the fire burned the house down, but the great news is that everyone got out and everyone survived. You know what I mean? I mean, there's
boring.
A way to... Okay. Well, we do our best at least once a week to put a positive spin on the news, because you don't always find that everywhere.
Mine today is Chef Jose Andres.
Amazing man.
I was not very familiar with him until I brought him up after seeing him in Washington, D.C., serving some of the federal employees. And Christine said the exact same thing. Amazing man. He's a Spanish-American, and he has a bunch of restaurants in D.C., in Los Angeles, and Vegas, all over the place. And he started the World Central Kitchen. And I started looking into him after seeing him feeding the federal workers. And apparently... he was in Puerto Rico in the wake of Hurricane Maria.
That's what I heard about him is, he went down to Puerto Rico and just fed thousands of people.
He was in Houston, Texas, following Hurricane Harvey. He was in Southern California in the Ventura County during the December 2017 Thomas Fire. I mean, in every single one of these places, he was in South Carolina in the aftermath of Hurricane Florence. Every single one of these places, he goes.
Yeah.
Himself.
Yeah, he doesn't send people. It's him.
And he brings some people with him, and he makes whatever food he can, but he makes it as good as he can.
Yeah.
So in Puerto Rico, for example, they didn't have any electricity or anything for a long time, so they couldn't have hot food. So he said, let's make hot food, and we'll feed. I think they fed 3 million meals.
Unbelievable. Jeez.
So
I just going to make money like that.
Right. So then he just hit my radar again when he was in Washington, D.C. during the shutdown. And he had a restaurant right there in Washington, D.C. that would serve people who were federal employees that weren't getting a paycheck. And this is the news audio from that.
800,000 federal workers have already missed a second paycheck and have gone without pay for more than a month. CBS News correspondent David Begno is at Chef Jose Andres' World Central Kitchen in Washington, where they're helping provide to furloughed federal employees.
So this interview was done immediately after Donald Trump said, okay, let's open the government again for, 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this question is about from the reporter.
Now that the president has said that he wants to open up the government, do you plan to close your kitchens?
This location, number one, World Central Kitchen, we're going to be here at least until next Friday. We're going to wait until the federal employees receive their paychecks. We're going to hear from them. And hopefully by next week, all will receive their paycheck in their bank accounts. And then we'll decide. But at the very least, until next Friday.
I mean, that guy's amazing.
Yeah, he's an angel.
He just follows tragedies around the world and tries to make it better.
Yep.
And that's why he's my great news.
That is great news. Allie, this story is just for you.
Oh, no.
You know how the news loves when white kids go missing? I mean, that is just, there's a whole industry in this country.
Oh, and if it's a good-looking white girl?
Yeah. Well, that's the best.
For sure.
I mean, you lose 10 African-Americans before one gets on the news. And little white kids, man, they just love to follow them. And this story I was captivated with because we've had some real cold weather in parts of the country this year. And last Tuesday, a little 3-year-old boy named Casey Hathaway crawled away from his house somehow. And it was freezing or below freezing at night. And obviously hundreds of people mobilized to try to find him. And he didn't turn up on Tuesday night, and he didn't turn up on Wednesday, and he didn't turn up on Wednesday night. And people were starting to really think the worst of what happened to this little boy. Thursday afternoon, they found him. He was okay. He was caught in a tangle of vines and thorns just about a half a mile from where he went missing. A lady who was out walking her dog heard the noise, ran over, found him, called 911. They took him to the hospital. Here's the reason I do this story on Great News. Allie, do you know this story?
I do.
He told his aunt that he had been hanging out with a bear. He said he hung out with a bear for 2 days while he was gone. Here's what she posted, his aunt posted on her Facebook page. God sent him a friend to keep him safe. God is a good God, and miracles do happen. Now, I don't want to burst anyone's bubble here.
Yeah.
But what? Did Casey hang out with a bear? Did the bear protect Casey? Is that why little Casey, little white boy Casey, is alive today?
I'm going to say, in light of this story, it absolutely doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if the kid's happy. Mm-hmm. If the mom's happy, the kid's happy, it's great news.
No, it's nothing but great news that the kid was found. I mean, it's really a miracle after three nights being out there in freezing cold weather. But I really like to believe that there was a bear out there that was keeping him warm, and he was just safe.
Cuddled up next to a bear, and the bear knew that it was too cold for him.
But there were a bunch of people looking for him. They wouldn't have seen a bear.
Well, no, they didn't find the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
The bear probably took him into the cave at night, and then during the day, he brought him back. That's what I'd like to believe.
Allie's running with this story.
I've got a whole backstory.
I'm running with it, too. I so want it to be true because I don't know anything about this kid or what he knows about bears, but it's just a crazy thing for him to say is that a bear had kept him company. I want to believe, you guys.
Believe.
I want to believe.
Do it.
I agree.
And that's my great news.
All right. My great news, shockingly, has to do with Twitter, where nothing really good has happened on Twitter in the last few years. But a man had criticized actor and comedian Patton Oswalt, and they had kind of gone back and forth with this. Patton is very, very vocal about his political leanings, and the guy didn't agree with something. They went back and forth, blah, blah, blah. So then Patton did what sometimes people do. If you're, into it with someone, you kind of glance at their profile.
Just
and
go
then
check
you're like,
out their page and see what they're about.
Yeah. Usually you're like, oh, all right.
That's their first tweet ever.
Exactly. A little concerning. But after he was criticized, he went and looked at his page and then he posted, oh, man, this dude just attacked me on Twitter and I joked back. But then I looked at his timeline and he's in a lot of trouble health-wise. I'd be pissed off, too. He's been dealt some S cards. Let's deal him some good ones. Click and donate just like I'm about to. And he put up this guy's GoFundMe account. Turns out this guy, Michael Beatty, had been in the hospital for 2 weeks with sepsis. He pretty much almost died. He apparently was in critical condition, coded twice in the ER, came back, he said, because he was stubborn. That's what his wife said.
Why is he spending whatever time he has left trolling Patton Oswalt on the internet?
That's a great question. But what happened was he had a $5,000 GoFundMe. That's what he wanted to raise. Would you like to know what Patton Oswalt? He donated, by the way, $2,000.
Yes, please.
And what followers of Patton have donated so far out of a goal of $5,000.
Yep.
We are up to 46,255.
Wow. So it pays to be a dick on the internet.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
No.
Because
Sorry.
This man has then kind of turned around and he said, you've humbled me to the point where I can barely compose my words. You've caused me to take pause and reflect on how harmful words from my mouth could result in such an outpouring. Thank you for this. And I will pass this on to my cousin who needs help, a cascade. So he's now going to pay
amazing.
It forward with the money that he doesn't need as well. So, which of course then opened Patton up to a lot of people just saying crappy things, trying to get his attention, like,
God,
which
yeah.
is just ridiculous. A lot done in a joking manner, but still. I mean, that's going to kind of be the thing, right? Patrick, you're a D. Patrick? What? Patton. So that's just an interesting thing. So maybe this guy is now changed, seeing that, you know what? Sometimes your words hurt. But also, if we take a minute and realize we're not all that different. So calm your tees, everybody, is what I'm saying. And that's my great news.
Hey, Friday morning, it was a huge story over the weekend. Roger Stone, who is just the latest in the best people around President Donald Trump, was arrested by the FBI. And there is some controversy as to whether it was necessary for the FBI to go in there pre-dawn with a bunch of guys with machine guns and bust down his door. A lot of people are like, a little bit of an overkill for a guy who's 66, doesn't have a valid passport, doesn't have a gun. But I guess they wanted to be on the safe side and whatnot. But that's not why I bring all this up. I bring all this up to say Roger Stone, who is a fascinating character and just a nut job, by the way.
Is he?
Just a nut job.
Totally.
Couldn't do more interviews after he was arrested, which I think you know every attorney advises you to get out there and just talk as much as possible once the FBI takes you down.
Yeah.
Just couldn't stay off TV all weekend long.
Something
resurfaced that I found fascinating that we have never talked about before, and that is he has... Well, Jensen, you're the tattoo guy here.
Yes.
How big is this tattoo?
I'd probably say it's
huge, right?
Yeah, probably about... 6 inches.
6 inches tall.
Yeah, 6 inches tall, and then across probably about 4 inches.
Of President
Richard Nixon's face.
And it is a clean, very well done portrait.
It looks really nice.
Very realistic.
But it's a really nice tattoo.
It's the only tattoo that you can see on him, mm-hmm. right?
Well, yeah. He has to take off his shirt. Yeah, you don't see anything else, but it is... It's
just Richard Nixon.
It's very startling on him, yeah.
And it obviously, the first thing we all thought is, well, that's going to be target practice in jail. But my point is that very rarely do you see historical figures tattooed on people's bodies.
Yeah.
I know that he – did he work in the Nixon administration
did,
at some
yes.
point? He yeah. did. That's what I thought.
There
yeah.
is a very interesting documentary on Roger Stone on Netflix if you're ever interested in learning about
it. Oh, I think
it.
I would like that.
A real-life Mr. Burns.
What do you think about the Nixon Foundation distancing their self
did
from
they
him?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're like, he was a junior scheduler on the 1972 re-election yeah. campaign. Yeah. He was in college. Like, it was pretty much an internship. Trust us.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, when Nixon is trying to be like –
Well, I'm
nope.
not sure it's Nixon.
Well, I think it's, yeah, right. his okay. people.
Yeah, his people.
It's probably
so,
not.
So Roger Stone is so into President Nixon that even when he appeared in front of the first set of cameras and microphones after his arrest, he put his hands up in the air, you know, spread out, just like the famous Nixon getting on the helicopter to leave Washington after his, you know, after his resignation. I mean, this guy loves Nixon.
How much can you still love? So when was that, 72?
Yeah.
How much can you still love that guy?
Yeah.
Like, you already have the 4x6 tattoo on your back.
Right.
You're going to recreate famous scenes from
it's
him?
It's insane.
That's
yeah,
so
it's
weird.
But this is a man that, when he's dressed up, looks totally like the Riddler and the Joker put together.
Yeah.
Like, he's nuts.
There are many pictures on the internet, if you Google it, where he looks like the Babadook.
yes, the big hat. Yes.
And he's got a little bit of your Monopoly Man, too, by the way,
Allie,
in some
yes.
pictures. All right, so here's the topic that we want to get into. Historical figure tattoos. Tell me if I'm wrong about this. Again, Jensen, you're the tattoo guy.
Sure.
Most tattoos are either personal mm-hmm. or they are pop culture figures.
Yes.
There are a million people out there who have an Eminem tattoo or a Weird Al tattoo mm-hmm. or you know.
I think sports would fall into entertainment
sports,
as well.
Sports, yeah. absolutely, yeah.
The Simpsons you see a lot. There's a lot of Instagram right. accounts, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. But very rarely do you see somebody like a president. And I think any president would count for what we're looking for historical figures, right? Like, if you're rocking a Chester Arthur tattoo, I want to talk to you.
I don't
really.
Also,
that's the difference
like be
between
friend.
Bean and I is I don't.
yeah.
If you've got a back tattoo of Rutherford B. Hayes, call yeah. right now, 1-800-520-1067.
You're setting the bar pretty high there, Bean.
I know I am.
So we're saying historical figures. Now, how do we determine that? Jensen, you have two, right?
I have two portraits, and I think they're on the line.
Okay.
The one that I think we can get away with is I have Muhammad Ali, who is an athlete, but
yes.
I got him because he's an activist.
A political activist. Oh, that would make sense. That
yes.
would make him a historical figure mm-hmm. More than just – that's not just an entertainer.
Because criteria for me right now might be, could you see this person in a history book? And Muhammad Ali is definitely in a history book.
Okay.
So
who's
just
the other one?
Don well,
Rickles.
Hold on. Before we move
Don
on.
Rickles. Don Rickles, not a historical figure.
Oh, I respect it, though.
Yeah. All right, so Don Rickles would be like having a Bill Burr tattoo or something like that, right?
Sure.
Or Joe Rogan tattoo or
well,
something like that.
Let's
just
not push it too far, but yeah.
but going back to Muhammad Ali, so he would count as a historical person, even though he's a sports figure,
yes.
In a way that Babe Ruth wouldn't.
Correct.
Right.
Right. Because even though he's a historical figure because he's an old-timey guy from a long time ago, but he was just a baseball player.
I think that if your Wikipedia says your main job, like athlete, but the second one is activist, I think we should put that into the... like.
So activist is the word that sort of makes it historical
least,
and not just an athlete.
Yeah, for at least an athlete yeah, or a comedian or, you know, something like that that plays both lines. Like Don Rickles just called you like a human hockey puck. Like,
see,
that
but then
count.
You're going to run into, then is Colin Kaepernick a historical figure?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, that's interesting.
That's a very good question, but I think the answer is yes.
Do they have? Huh. No, so they don't have to be.
See, I figure
I figured old.
Old and dead.
Yeah,
I think
that if you have a tattoo of the three Olympians mm-hmm. standing giving the black power sign,
uh-huh.
that's
mm-hmm.
a historic.
I would say so too.
Right. Okay. So I think
we're going to run into all kinds of trouble
yeah.
ruling here.
Yeah.
I know we are.
Just
now,
call if you have a Bart Simpson tattoo.
Now, let me ask you guys this.
I also have Milhouse, as we all know. So I run the gamut. I'm a complex man.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. But let me ask you this. How about if you have Elon Musk tattooed?
I'm going to say no for now.
Historical figure, though.
Yeah, but
he's not an entertainer.
But I think there's some kind of social justice that needs to be in there.
Maybe. I'd say Steve Jobs works. I'd say if you had a Steve Jobs tattoo, number one, you're amazing because you have like the turtleneck and everything. But beyond that,
I don't feel like Steve Jobs would work.
I also don't think it has to be an activist to be a historical tattoo. What if you had Sir Edmund Hillary?
Sure.
Mount Everest. What if you had him as
all
a tattoo?
The stuff he did.
Would that like count? That. I mean,
it would be difficult for him though, because he's like knocking off all the women that come to him because of his tattoo. You know
right?
What I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Like it's like
it's a constant battle.
Constant battle. Yeah.
How about an inventor? How about how about if you had Galileo, for instance?
That counts.
I mean,
right?
If you're talking about dead people, the line gets a little easier than it does Colin Kaepernick. You know, then it's a little complex. But I don't know.
All right, I'll give you one more, and then we'll go to the phones.
Can I tell you what mine is?
Yeah, sure.
You have one? Yeah, I have a Madame Curie tramp stamp.
Yeah, and I respect it.
Thank you.
How about Stephen Hawking?
That's definitely
right?
They changed history.
Yeah,
he's
think
a historical figure.
Yeah,
all right.
I would even say, I know, now I'm getting into a real line, but even like an Alfred Hitchcock, I think, would fit. Because I think
Alfred Hitchcock, yes. Marilyn Monroe, no, as a historical figure.
Well, yeah, that's because you're a basic B. If you're a basic bitch, if you have a Marilyn Monroe concert.
No, but I'm saying they're both people who made movies.
Yeah,
I'd say no on both.
Hitchcock changed the way movies were made.
But that's,
Marilyn Monroe was an actress who was beautiful. I would just think they're two different things.
All right, let's take a call before the break. 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for you if you have a historical figure as a tattoo. And I don't think there are going to be a ton of them, but I think we're going to get some. And we'll start with Edgar in Fullerton, line one.
Give me one second. Edgar, are you there? I think I'm having problems with the phones here, Bean.
Well, I will tell you, Mike Tyson does have Mouse a Tongue on his arm. That's a historical figure. That would work.
Yeah, we can't go to Edgar right now. We need to take a break, and then we'll fix it, and then we'll come back.
Okay, we'll do that. 1-800-520-1067. Edgar, hang on. We'll get to everybody's calls right after this on K-Rock.
Instead of Soundgarden, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Edgar in Fullerton. Good morning, Edgar.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're talking about Roger Stone in the news this weekend has a giant tattoo of President Richard Nixon. We were wondering if anybody else out there has historical tattoos, and you say you do.
You know what? It's actually my cousin. He came home one day on my grandpa's 75th birthday when the whole family was there, and he came through with a Abraham Lincoln tattoo with Ray-Bans.
Where was it on his body?
Oh, it was right in his chest.
Why?
He was so proud when he came in.
Yes, why is the lady's question. Do you know?
You know what? He has a buddy that does tattoos, and the buddy's actually really good now, but at the time he just needed someone to practice on.
Was there alcohol involved?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
That's what I thought, right?
The best tattoos are the janky ones when somebody's just learning how to do tattoo art. Yeah.
And you know what? He's gained some weight since then, so I feel that that tattoo is warped now.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
It was always warped.
That's fantastic. Edgar, thank you for the call, my friend. 1-800-520-1067. We're taking calls on your historical tattoos. By the way, Jesus counts, right?
Yes.
Sure.
Virgin Mary, all of those completely legit.
Yeah.
All right, take your calls after Soundgarden on K-Rock. I have thought about...
Please do.
...getting a historical figure tattoo.
Please do.
And I'm not kidding.
Okay.
And I know you would expect me to say Weird Al, and of course I'd be honored to have a Weird Al tattoo, but that wouldn't
count. The Wreck of the Evan Fitzgerald.
That wouldn't count in this category. The Wreck is certainly something I've considered.
Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong would be a great tattoo for me, but I think I would get...
Oh, Clyde Tombaugh.
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's pretty good, yes.
And Clyde Tombaugh, by the way, the great American who discovered Pluto, that would certainly count as a historical tattoo.
For sure.
Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, wow. Bean.
Queen Elizabeth is the tattoo that I think I would be most likely to get.
Heaven. I now have one
Holy
mission and
crap.
One mission only. Atlanta, find a tattoo artist, and Queen Elizabeth,
my
right?
My God.
I will get something weird, too, if he gets Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, my God.
I demand this
Queen
happen.
Elizabeth has been my queen my entire
she's
life.
She's been your queen.
I adore her.
Uh-huh. I couldn't hate her more.
I adore her, and I would totally do it.
Would you get young queen or old queen?
Oh, young queen.
Okay.
Hot queen. Cleavage queen.
Slow down.
Oh, you're going way back.
What do you think the queen would say about this?
We're looking at you, Kevin.
This tattoo is good because I'm better than everyone in the world. And I'm Dean's queen.
We're talking about, let's table our potential Atlanta tattoos for another time as we get closer to the event. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to our calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about Roger Stone in the news this week, arrested by the FBI, and he has a giant Richard Nixon tattoo on his back. Now, we already had one listener had an Abe Lincoln tattoo, at least his cousin did. What's that Trevor and Cypress got?
Trevor in Cyprus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hey, guys. So my coworker has a stick figure Abe Lincoln tattoo on his thigh right below his ass.
Abe Lincoln popular.
Yeah, another Abe Lincoln. What's the deal?
And why a stick figure?
I have no idea. I think he wanted an Abe Lincoln tattoo, like a detailed one, and then and the guy who was doing his tattoo just drew a stick figure. He's like, what the f*** is this, you know? And then he just drew a little top hat on top of the stick figure, and that's his tattoo.
That's all they could do in jail, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. Wow, I didn't expect that Abe Lincoln was going to be running the table on tattoos here today. But thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Josie, L.A. Line 3, up next on the Kevin DeBeach Show. And by the way, Josh, we really wanted to talk to you. I know you hung up. If you have the chance to call back, we want to talk about your tattoo. Please do.
Hey, Josie.
Hi, good morning.
Tell us about your ex-boyfriend.
He has a Benjamin Franklin tattoo on his forearm.
Wow. Oh, now that's interesting. How come?
Well, when people would ask him, he would say it's the money man because he was trying to hustle and always trying to have some little side things going on.
Mm-hmm.
So he would say he was on a $100 bill and he was always trying to make money.
And that's when you decided he was going to be your ex?
As we all know, that is what Abe Lincoln is most known for, making money.
Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Benjamin Franklin. Also Abe Lincoln.
Yeah. All right, no more questions.
I think we've really hit the limit on Ben Franklin tattoo questions.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Just another Monday here on K-Rock. That means particle physicist Professor Brian Cox is going to be joining us at 9 a.m.
Again?
I know.
Every Monday.
He's still got more to learn from you, Kevin.
Thank you.
He did not tap everything you know last time he was here.
I enjoy Cox Monday, though, when he comes in.
Professor Brian Cox.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. So that's on the way. Plus, we actually have somebody here in the building who lived for a number of years, worked in Atlanta. And we're going to invite him into the studio so we can start getting some preparations together for our trip. We're planning to broadcast there on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we have no idea. I've been to Atlanta before, by the way, but it's been a very, very long time. We have no idea what we're getting ourselves into and what we should be on the lookout for.
We're very blind, is what we're telling you.
We're very blind, yes. So that's all coming up here on K-Rock. First, Allie's got what's happening here on a Monday.
Remember last week when we saw that clip of Jeff Bridges in the Pendleton? Just looked just like his character from Big Lebowski.
The dude.
And we were like, oh, is he going to be back? Is it a movie? What's it going to be? We now know. Womp womp.
You sound disappointed. It's a commercial.
It's a commercial for Stella Artois beer. Mm. And in the new advertisement, he's joined by Sex and the City's Carrie Bradshaw. Of course, we know her as Sarah Jessica Parker. Where she walks into a bar and instead of getting her, you know, usual... what was it, a Cosmo?
This is already so lame.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm so mad.
Yeah, instead of getting the Cosmo, she goes for a Stella. And of course, for him, what's his drink? A White Russian, right?
Ugh.
Well, I mean, he too is going to opt for the beer. So that's...
Sell out.
My disappointment is immeasurable.
Yeah.
And my day is ruined.
The samesies, yeah. Although it did remind me of back when I lived in Park City a long time ago, and they were having a big party, and a guy, this was during Sundance, a guy kept inviting us to Stella Artois. Do you want to go to the Stella Artois house, blah, 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 they're going to be a big party, da, da. And after about the fifth invite to this house, I was like, I don't even know what she's in. Like, is this a huge movie that none of us know? Zero idea that it was a beer. Listen, guys, that's sad.
That's pretty lame.
Yes.
So stupid. So aggravating. I mean, it's just them two?
Well,
Because those two go together, those two.
You're going to have to see. Okay. There might be more.
I just am like...
Do we need all of that?
No. Right. I see what you're saying. I don't know about you guys, but I was glued to my radio on Friday at 4 p.m. because it was going to be the big reveal. Our lovely friends in the afternoon, Stryker and Klein, had a bet-ish that Stryker could hit 50 of 100 free throws.
Because the Lakers, some of them are shooting 40%.
Yeah, right. Lonzo Ball specifically.
So he said, I can make 50.
Yeah, he's like, I can do 50. And Klein's like, no, you can't at all.
If you want to watch the video, it's up at krock.com. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. But here's the thing. No one believed in him except for me and Kevin.
Yep.
And guess what? Y'all should have believed, because Stryker is magic. Here is his radio partner, Klein, doing a little play-by-play.
37 shots of his first 50. Impressive numbers. These are NBA numbers right now. This is unbelievable. I did not think this would happen. He's had a bad start. The number I predicted was 42. He's had 48 shots, 48 made shots. He has made his last 30 shots in a row. In a very unathletic performance, Ted Stryker hits 50 shots out of his first 50 out of 63. He's continuing to see how many of the 100 he can get.
Okay, let's just pause right there.
50 out of 63.
Including 30 in a row.
Yeah. With no breaks. He had said that he wanted breaks in between like 20. And he's like, nope, I'm just going to keep going. No breaks. And of course,
when you're that hot, why would you take a break?
Amen. But instead of just stopping and being like, listen, I won the bet, he's like, I'm going.
He kept going.
Yeah.
Do you believe in mediocrity? Ted Stryker, 81 shots.
God, I crushed you. I crushed Jensen in your face. Bean, I'm sorry, in your face.
Okay,
the
fair
listeners
enough.
Who yelled at me, in your face. Everyone that thought I could do it. I love you guys. Thank you. I cannot believe I got 81. Yes!
I mean, that is impressive.
Listen,
he's on the Lakers.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I'll eat crow when I need to. And yeah. I 100% will admit he was shockingly good.
Amazing.
Like savant style 30 in a row. Like, most people can't do 30 in a row and pop a shot, let alone on a full court.
It's insane.
That's insane.
He's basically K Rock Steph Curry.
I mean, sure. If there is such a thing, that's it.
He's a Laker fan. Can we pick a good Laker free throw shooter?
Not right now.
But maybe in the past?
Sadale Threat. He's K-Rock Sadale Threat. K-Rock Anthony Peeler. I'm pulling some.
I don't even know what's happening
pulling
right now.
Pulling some names.
But congratulations to Stryker. Of course, he didn't really have a bet with Klein, which...
Because he's a bad bet maker.
...is the worst ever. But we also... I'm a part of it. He did say that maybe he should just have to have sex with an 81-year-old Nana. Right? He hit 81, mate. Now he hits 81. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the reward?
I don't know if it's... No, not Stryker gets to have sex. Klein does.
Oh, gotcha. I was like, whew, that is a terrible bet. I'm hitting as few as I can in that bet.
Oh, gosh. Hey, some birthdays
for you. Oh, I only made 19.
We've got rappers J. Cole, Rick Ross, singer Sarah McLachlan, actors Ariel Winter and Elijah Wood, and boy banders Nick Carter and Joey Fatone. And that's what's happening.
First of all, I am bringing Hotlanta back, and you can't stop me.
Please don't.
I mean, honestly, I want you to do that.
It's going
to
be...
Because it makes me happy every time you say it.
It's going to be hip. It's going to be happening all over
when
again.
When he does it, it sounds like when Alex Trebek has to do rap lyrics.
Yes.
We're going to make Hotlanta big again.
Yep. Hello, all you young people. We are going to Atlanta. We are going to be broadcasting live Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, courtesy of our sponsor, TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. We saw a video that we put up in the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup last Friday that was by a very funny comedian named Brian Moot. And it was all about how don't come to Atlanta, or if you do, whatever you do, don't drive because the traffic is so awful. And we were saying, how much worse can the traffic be than the traffic already is in Los Angeles? Like, you can't scare Southern California people about traffic, I wouldn't think. But apparently we have a lot to learn about Atlanta. Mm. And that man, Brian Moot, turns out to work in this building, you guys, on AMP Radio 97.1. And he joins us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Not just in the building. We share a wall. I'm always peering through the windows at you guys.
No boy.
So, Brian, you put on a long Selena Gomez song and come on over here? Is that what
happened? That's right.
Well, I
lurk
it
by your blinds every day.
Are you guys the standers? You stand.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, they're the
standers. The standers. I didn't know that that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, I look over there and go, they're still standing.
Well, I stand because I'm coming from stand-up comedy. For me, it helps me tell stories if I'm like, I'm just too active.
Animated,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If I sit there, like, my foot's tapping, and so I like to stand and walk around.
Right. Guys, I'm not positive that we're on target.
I know,
okay.
I know.
Yeah.
So,
well, we're all sinners, as you see.
You lived there for 4 years.
Yes, sir.
And I know that the excitement of going is because of the big game, but we've been asking our listeners, hey, what's a must-see in Atlanta? And obviously, 1 through 9 on that top 10 list is Magic City. That's what everybody's coming back with. You got to go to Magic City.
Magic City is an experience. Magic City, every girl in Magic City takes the stage like that. This is my time to shine. Move out of the way. You're going to hear some clapping from body parts that you didn't know clap. And it is one where you're mesmerized by what's happening on the stage. So Magic City is one of those places you should
and
go
it's
to.
Magic is what they're
do
doing
magic
like
tricks, yeah.
Look at all the scarves coming out of my G-string.
Okay, excellent.
Kind of stuff. It's like clowns.
It is one of the most famous, notorious maybe, strip club joints in America, I would say, right?
It is. And the fun part about the strip club scene in Atlanta, the one that you really need to go to, because Magic City, everyone knows about it, right? It's mm-hmm. like an Outkast music video. The place you want to go is Claremont Lounge, which is like, it's kind of the novelty club. They've got a woman named Blondie who smashes beer cans with her boobs.
Okay.
They've got another one.
That's what this show has, right? Too, right?
There you go. It's just, that is the one where it's in like in a gross, grungy basement. You go in there, like the Yelp reviews all say, you got to take a shower to then take a shower once you leave.
Well, it sounds great.
it's a play you'll never forget it.
Sounds
okay.
great.
Okay.
All right, so once you get past that, though, and maybe a couple of votes for the College Football Hall of Fame, which sounds super boring, everything else is like the Gone with the Wind Museum. I mean, Atlanta is a huge city. There has to be something more going on that we don't know about that you can advise us to look at.
There are some unbelievable dive bars. I pulled a couple that I love, and I pulled just a single Yelp review line just to kind of embody right. the essence. So great. One, Johnny's Hideaway in Buckhead, and it says, one of the reviews says, the ambiance takes you back to what feels like an Austin Powers movie. Velvet seats, disco ball over the dance floor. They also make some pretty stiff drinks. And the place is known for having rich, drunk 50-year-old women looking to see a 20-something make a walk of shame the next morning.
Nice.
I mean, mark it down.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
We got another one here, the Elbow Room, also in Buckhead. This place is great. Total oasis in a desert of douchebaggery. Most every other place in Buckhead has the after-work suit and tie crowd. This place is the complete opposite. Cheap beer, cheap food, dimly lit, the epitome of a dive. Right up my alley. I love being a gnat in that jam.
Mark it down. These are all great so far.
All right.
We got the Northside Tavern. That's closer to the stadium, so when you're downtown area, it's on Northside Drive. If you look up dive bar in the dictionary, you should see a great picture of the Northside Tavern. According to Google, a dive is a shabby or sleazy bar or similar establishment. Sleazy? I'm not sure about that. This place is a dump, though. But a dump in the best way. The kind of bar where when you drop and spill a drink, you aren't sure if you need to clean it up or just rub it in with your foot.
That's house what we're rules, for. Too. Yeah. Let's do it.
And then another really fun place, not a bar, but it's an underground bocce ball.
Okay,
joint.
Now I'm in.
Okay, this place is called Ormsby's. Cool underground bar, a little difficult to find, but when you do, you kind of feel like that's part of the fun, that it was hidden the whole time. It's got darts in the bottom, also underground bocce ball, and they let you sign up for tournaments to win free beer and food.
Jeez.
I don't even know what bocce ball is, but I'm in.
Am I moving to Atlanta?
Sounds like it's perfect for you. Brian, we talked to actually the proprietor of a place where you throw hatchets in Atlanta one time.
Yes, the Hatchet Bar. It's in Little Five Points, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. You get drinks, you get food, and then you throw axes like a medieval training facility at stumps.
Hmm. Nothing could go wrong there at all.
I love it. Yeah. You drink and then you throw an axe.
How do they allow that? And how has somebody not been killed by that?
The funny part about Atlanta is, for the South, it's got some weird laws. You can't drink on Sundays till 11:30, though I think they moved that up to, I think you can drink at 10 during the Super Bowl because they're like, we're not going to lose out on that money. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, you'll just go to a bar where smoking is still legal in the bar, and they're throwing hatchets.
It makes no sense.
But we can't drink till noon on Sundays, but we can throw hatchets once we do. All right, perfect.
Is there a lot of Georgia that will make us feel like we're back in the 1880s?
If you go outside, so the way Atlanta's set up, they got the 285 freeway that goes around the outside. They call it the perimeter, outside the perimeter versus inside the perimeter. If you get out into the burbs,
it's like
the
Walking Dead.
Exactly. You will feel that is when you hit Gone with the Wind houses, and you're looking at it like that house looks like it has white people who weren't very nice,
right?
A couple hundred years ago,
or still not nice.
I wouldn't put it past them. So, but on the inside of the perimeter, it's more liberal. It's fun. So in the inside of the perimeter, that's when you define hatchet throwing and drinking. If you go outside the perimeter, you can still throw hatchets and drink, but it's just in someone's backyard.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Got it.
All right. One last question for you, Brian. You're very kind to step in here and share this with us. Is your original video that we played last week was about the traffic. I am told that the drivers, like in a lot of cities, are very aggressive in Atlanta.
They all drive huge trucks, and they're very aggressive. The freeways are all designed like a bottleneck, so everything comes in, mashes into
one. Oh, that's a problem.
It's a real problem.
Is that what makes it worse than Los Angeles? Because we are used to sitting in traffic.
Yeah. Here you have options. You'd be like, oh, I'll take the 60, or maybe I'll take the 10 today. I'll try this one. Atlanta, you have no options. Everyone bottlenecks into downtown where all the stadiums are. So that's going to be a problem.
Sounds like a great design.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And my point was that you have Atlanta, which has bad traffic already, and then you take two groups of people that are equally bad at driving,
right?
Massachusetts folks,
yes,
who are terrible and mean about it, and then you got LA folks who are distracted and also like, it's just not going to be a good scene if everyone's driving.
Well, at least it's not going to be snowing when we get there tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
or the biggest sporting event of the year.
Yeah,
right.
We'll be fine.
Just wait.
Ryan, Atlanta and their fans are all going to be rooting for the Rams, though, right? They beat the Saints, so that makes them, you know, that's a positive in their book. And B, the Falcons fans hate the Patriots because of that Super Bowl, right?
Oh, everyone will be rooting against the Patriots. The problem is, my girlfriend told me this yesterday. She went downtown, and there's not one Rams jersey in downtown Atlanta. It's all Patriots fans.
Yet.
So you're going to have to come strong, folks.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. The Ramilies on their way.
The Ramilies coming, man.
Look at them.
Oh, my God.
Brian is the co-host of Mornings on our sister station, AMP Radio on 97.1 FM. Edgar, Brian, and Chelsea is the show. Thanks for stopping by, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I love talking about it.
Sorry for making you sit.
We're going to open up the phones, I think, looking for other people, maybe even some Atlanta listeners who might be streaming the show. We're talking about having a get-together, having a meetup while we're there. But we're looking for other things that we should see and do. Like, for instance, I'm taking Jensen to Waffle House. He's never been to a Waffle House.
Yep. And I'm thinking about taking you to get a tattoo.
So we got some stuff planned, but we want to hear what you recommend we do in Atlanta. You can call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on KIPP. Have you guys noticed that Dave has not stopped talking about going to the aquarium?
Of course. He loves aquariums.
I think that's why we're going.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah. Look, he's obsessed with aquariums. I would go to an aquarium.
Aquariums are
cool. Sure.
But he's been to so many aquariums. Isn't it just more fish?
No question, yeah.
He's seen everything.
We've
seen it all.
So
we've seen Finding Nemo.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for some help on suggestions of things that we need to do when we're there. Why don't we go to Adam? I don't have a lot of hope. Line 1, Buena Park, based on what I'm seeing, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is awesome. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's going on?
What should we do?
Hi. I was going to suggest going to the Georgia Guidestones.
What is the Georgia Guidestones?
Landmark that was made by this rich private tycoon a couple years back, like a couple decades ago, and it's put in this geographic location where if there's a natural disaster, it's still supposed to survive, and it's kind of like a modern-day Stonehenge.
Interesting. I'm not going to go there, but it's interesting.
I have seen photos. It's just a bunch of big kind of Stonehenge rocks.
Yeah, but don't they have writings all over it? It's like the Rosetta Stone mixed with Stonehenge. No, for real.
Yeah, really?
Rosetta Stonehenge.
It's actually, I think some people have tried to deface it a couple of times, too, just because of, like, some people don't understand it.
Oh, they're barbarians.
That sounds really boring, but
yeah.
I'm glad you called, and I appreciate you listening, and thank you so much. Let's go to Kristen, I want to say, HB, up next, line 2 on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, Kristen.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you used to live in Atlanta?
Bean, I'm sorry, where?
Yeah.
You used to live in Hotlanta?
Yeah, Decatur.
Okay.
Thank
you. Decatur. Okay. Yep. All right, tell us about it.
In Decatur, yeah, I would recommend going to downtown Decatur. They've got an amazing place called Brickstore Pub that has hundreds of choices of beers, wines, great food.
I don't think alcohol is going to be a problem in Atlanta.
But she's saying
it's
Decatur.
Not, I'm telling you, Brickstore Pub is one of the best places to go. Yeah, downtown Decatur, you can take the train right to the courthouse. And there's also a corner tavern there that's amazing.
So you just drink there, then you go right to the courthouse.
Well, this will be perfect because you guys can just pick me up, and then we'll go get more to drink.
By the way, I love your accent, Kristen. I feel we're going to fall in love with some Georgia peaches while we're down there.
People there are pretty sweet, but don't miss Sweetwater Brewery. You can't get their beer here.
All right, take it easy.
We get it.
Take it easy.
Yeah. We get it, Kristen Sweetwater or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, see you the next day, Amy. All right, let's go to Trevor Lakewood up next, line three. Again, planning our trip to Atlanta to broadcast Wednesday.
Where being?
Friday. Hotlanta.
Thank you.
Hey, Trevor, what's up?
What to do, guys?
Where should we go when we're in Atlanta?
Go Decatur. Check out Top Golf.
Top Golf, which I've they have in top, every city.
I've heard of this, though. We don't have it here. We don't have it here, right?
I don't know.
We do not have it in Southern California yet.
No. That's just a driving range, right?
It is a driving range, but it is a bar. It is a driving range. It's like playing darts with golf balls.
Yeah. There's scoring. There's the way the ball falls gives you points. It's more of an arcade situation. It's supposed to be very fun.
All right.
Yes, it is.
That sounds like the kind of thing that might be fun if it weren't the week of the Super Bowl. I feel like there must be more things going on that are more fun.
Yeah, maybe that's a tough one to work in.
I mean, I think that's a thing you do in August. You know what I mean, maybe? All right, thank you for the call. We just have time for two more real, real quick. Let's go to Menifee. Jennifer, line six, please.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hello.
Hello. Where should we go?
There is a place called the Vortex in Little Five Points, and it has like a huge skull outside that you can walk in. They have really good burgers, really good drinks, and they also, more importantly, have a huge wooden penis in the middle of the restaurant.
Go on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean they have a few of them. I mean they have a lot of decor. They have like a huge motorcycle in there, and they have a bunch of different, you know, Art Deco stuff. But it's a lot of penises. You're going to see that. So if that's what you're looking for, that's
what we're looking for.
Sure, Jensen. Thank you for showing me that.
That was one for Allie.
Yeah, that's a good looking decor.
Why do they have penises in their restaurant?
I'm not sure. Why not?
Amen.
Well, okay. All right. Seems Amen. Unappetizing for starters.
Who are you talking to?
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, let's close out with Lori. She's on line four. Hey, wait a minute. Lori is actually listening to us from Atlanta, Georgia
what?
Right now.
What?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Lori. Wow.
Hey.
Okay,
hey,
what's up?
Don't come. It's terrible.
Oh, no.
Where were you terrible. Last week when we were planning this?
What is going on? No, what's terrible?
I'm excited that you're coming, and I'm going to probably find out where you are and just come because I miss all things L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And please, the traffic is terrible. It's a red state. Mm-hmm. Just don't come.
Wow.
Watch on TV.
Well, I mean, look, the Rams are in that game.
I also hate the Rams because I'm originally from St. Louis.
Oh, well, you go straight
to
hell.
So they're dead to me.
Jeez.
I don't think about the Super Bowl.
I can't wait to meet you, Lori.
Got a lot of issues to work out.
Lori's our people, though.
We'll see you this week. It's Kevin and Bean. Guys, we're going to Hotlanta. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to bring Hotlanta back.
No need, really.
I don't know. Sounds natural.
Which, from some people.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
This may not be the time to bring Hotlanta back because it's snowing there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, the Kevin Bean trip to Atlanta is brought to us by TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand, which I am happy to say. I got to get me a new TV now. Okay.
I don't know if that's part of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think we get TVs. Maybe other people do.
Oh, I think there is word that we're going to be giving away some TVs while we're broadcasting.
Oh, all right.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah.
So we can just take one?
So this week, of course, is, you know, the Ramley has Rams fever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been funny watching the news try to capture the excitement because I complain a lot about what they put on the news. But
right.
I understand that the temptation this week leading up to the Super Bowl is that just being careful, is that you're going to interview a bunch of Rams fans.
Right.
And the Rams fans miraculously all guarantee that the Rams are going to win.
Right. So
because
you're already tired of the man on the street interview? With,
I am.
Do you think they're going to win?
I'm already tired of the man on the street interview. Yes.
That's all we're going to do then.
I am already tired of interviewing super fans of a team about who they think is going to win the game. What do they expect to come out of those interviews? And how am I, the home viewer, impacted in a positive way by seeing a Rams fan express that he wants the Rams to win the Super Bowl?
It would be funny if he's like, I'm going to be honest, I don't think we're going to win.
Right. We're going to get close, we're going to play well, but I just don't think
everyone's going to play their hardest, but in the end, we're going to come up short.
I would respect that. I would. I really would.
Yeah.
The Randy's Donuts, painting the donut Rams colors. Mm-hmm. That's legit.
I love that stuff.
That's news. Yeah. I think covering the hundreds of people that were there for the farewell party, the kickoff to the trip party yesterday, I think that was legitimate news.
Looked like a lot of fun.
I like the people who bought fraudulent tickets. That's very common during.
Oh, that's a good one too.
I love that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then CBS Channel 2 did a very lengthy report. We don't have to get through all of it, where they talked to a fan who wants to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, this is what was on the news.
This woman has been a Rams fan all her life.
Her love for the team is off the charts. CBS 2's Rachel Kim is live in Fullerton, where she caught up with this super fan.
Yeah, Jeff and Pat, our colleague Leslie Marine first met Diane Wallace this past weekend in New Orleans before Sunday's game. While her love and passion for the Rams made such an impression on us, we wanted to catch up with her again back here at home.
Okay, so it's legit that she's enough of a fan that she traveled to New Orleans to see the NFC Championship game, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Do we need a follow-up with her?
Unless they're surprising her with Super Bowl tickets, I don't care.
And by the way, don't think that hasn't occurred to me since this interview is on CBS,
right,
the network that is airing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well,
let's see if they tease her with that.
I'm only interested if it's fraudulent tickets, but go on.
I grew up here. I can't imagine rooting for another team.
Rams to the Super Bowl!
It was a kick that Diane Wallace had been waiting for her whole life. Because a score would mean the Super Bowl.
Okay, we get it. They won the game and they're going to the Super Bowl.
You're already tired of it. Come on, man.
I'm way tired of this. So she's a Rams fan.
It's exciting.
And she's happy that they're in the Super Bowl. I don't understand how this is news. I don't get it.
Wow.
I mean, it's not done yet.
The 81-year-old lifelong Rams fan got her wish Sunday afternoon as she watched her beloved team beat the Saints in New Orleans.
By the way, spending plenty of time banging that point home, aren't they? Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
She went to New Orleans. Man, she was in New Orleans.
And the Rams won that game, and they're going to the Super Bowl. If you missed it, that final score, they had more points than the Saints did, so now they're heading to Atlanta for the Super Bowl.
Were you happy, ma'am?
I absolutely said I have to go to a Super Bowl with the Rams before I die.
One look at Diane, and there's no question
she's going to die soon.
Blue and gold. Her goal now is to go to Atlanta to watch the Rams score a Super Bowl victory.
We get it. She wants to go to the Super Bowl. I think that point has been made.
I'd like to move on to why can't she? How did she get to, New Orleans? Something like that.
Yeah, she has the ability to travel for the team. What are we? What's going on?
Clearly, yes. Great. All great questions. None of which are asked in this report.
Went to Super Bowl in 80, but I wasn't, there, and they didn't win. We're winning this time.
We're winning this time. Okay, I didn't realize that was happening. Okay, well, then you should be there, right?
We're going to win.
Okay.
This is my room. This is my Rams room.
Meantime, Diane showed us what she's collected over 30 years.
Okay. Now,
take us around your house and show us your Rams memorabilia.
Now we're looking at her collection of Rams memorabilia. Again, what does this do for me, the home viewer?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
All things Rams.
My old sweats. They're 35 years old.
Okay. This is on the news.
I love it. Now I turned around. Now I love it.
It's a senior citizen showing us her stanky old 35-year-old sweatpants.
Now I'm in.
Come on.
Because isn't the follow-up, why don't you buy a new set of those?
We've fallen into a very specific fetish for Kevin.
Yes.
I still wear them to the game.
Oh, do you now?
From old ticket stubs to football cards, Diane loves to make noise about her team.
This was the Ramit horn from the Booster Club.
Okay.
Yes.
Now we're getting good.
good.
You're crazy, Bean. You were out way too early. Now it's getting good. You got the little clown horn?
We're looking at an 81-year-old blowing a horn.
Blowing a horn.
Whatever.
Right now, Diane is counting down to February 3rd, and she's got one thing to say.
Do you think she wants to go to the Super Bowl, you guys?
No, I think she'd rather be at home eating dip.
I'm very much surprised that she hasn't already figured out a way to go. Yeah.
I am too. Yeah. Be great if they asked her.
What else? We're going to win. We got to win.
Okay, well, you heard Diane. Her lifelong dream is to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So Rams or anyone else out there, if you can hook her up, please let us know.
Oh. So they leave the old lady hanging.
Womp, womp.
CBS comes into her house, listens to her ramble on for an hour about how much she needs to go to the Super
Show
Bowl.
Show us her little tchotchkes.
Watches
okay,
her,
good,
you know,
good luck
up,
with that.
Muster up enough breath to use a horn. Dust comes out the other side of the horn.
And then they just drive away. Beat it, Granny.
You know she had to think the whole time. They're totally surprising me, right?
Uh-huh.
This is what this is all coming to, right?
They'll come back, right?
They're
going to come back.
So sad.
What if she doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, you guys?
Okay.
What if she dies of a broken heart this week?
But here's the thing. The Rams have been to, this will be what, their fourth?
Yes. Where the hell was she in 2001 if she's a lifelong Rams fan when they won?
She's older than the Rams.
Probably in prison.
So, we didn't think about that. Yeah. Didn't think about that.
Maybe it only counts for her if they're the L.A. Rams. Maybe she turned her back on the St. Louis years.
Well, then she's not a real fan, is she?
That's what I'm saying.
Hmm. Yeah, F this granny, right?
Exactly. I want bad things for her.
No, we don't.
Bean, I got news for you. It's just now Monday.
Uh-huh. I know.
So you have Tuesday through Sunday.
Yeah, I do. It's true.
Maybe don't watch all the news.
My head's going to explode, you guys.
And it is 8:51.
I'm just worried about the tension in the room when Professor Cox gets in here. I mean,
what tension?
Well, you're a professor of particle physics at the School of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Manchester also, but you don't go around bragging about it. You don't go about telling everybody about it, holding lectures and being all smart and stuff.
Touring.
You keep it on the down low.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the difference between us.
Brian Cox is just out there going, oh, look at my big brain. Oh, I'm so huge.
One of us is humble. The other isn't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Kevin manages to stay modest about his break.
This other guy's going to come in here all willy-nilly, foreign, just being like, oh, I'm so smart. And then we're going to have a guy right across from him who's just going to sit there and just shake his head. It's going to look like he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Exactly.
But little does he know, he's just playing possum.
I'm on the DL.
True.
Exactly. So Brian Cox, it's always a thrill when he makes some time for us here at K-Rock. Joins us just after 9. All the ladies in the office are all a-Twitter about his visit, by the way, because he's British. Good-looking guy, super smart. It's a win-win-win there. All right, first, Allie's got what's happening here on this Monday.
Do you think he'll want to talk to us about the findings of the higher levels of particulate matter at the rear end of cruise ships?
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, no. They have found, that the levels of particulate matter are so much higher in the stern, so the backside of the ship. They had thought maybe it's because of the exhaust, that type
of
thing.
What's particulate matter? You're just talking about, pollution?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The mixture of solid particles and liquid droplets in the air.
Just dropping knowledge. Listen to her.
Wow. Here's my question, though. First of all, you guys know my feeling about cruise ships.
That's where you go to die, yeah.
You go on those to get murdered.
To get murdered,
people
right.
will push you off. That's the point of cruises. But now they're finding that the actual air quality on cruise ships, where you think you're out in the great wide open, you're getting some of the freshest air ever, is comparable to Beijing and Santiago. That's not great air.
No.
Right?
Well, another reason for me to avoid them.
I'm just saying. Do you think he'll want to talk about that?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything you can throw at Brian Cox that he don't have an answer for, by the way.
Oh, agreed.
All right. Well, then I'm going to ask him my question about Tarzan.
Please
Why doesn't he have a beard?
There you go.
I mean, what is he shaving with out there?
This is the guy
issue.
To ask.
I had the same issue with Lost. We could ask him about that, too.
Absolutely. We'll get right on top of it. Is he leaving?
Please come back.
Come back.
Oh, what do you guys think about this Michael Jackson documentary that's at Sundance? Do you have any interest once that's out and you can see it?
I mean, first of all, it's 4 hours, right?
Yeah. 4 hours.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But second of all, it's all about his alleged child molestation, right?
Yes, two cases in particular, right?
Two men and their mothers are in this.
Did they... Look, I'm not blaming the victim here at all, but I'm just curious. Did they speak up while Jackson was still alive?
Actually, Wade Robson actually said that none of it happened, and he, I believe he actually...
He defended him in court.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wade is... He should be well known. He was choreographer for Britney Spears and Sync, and then he even had his own TV show on MTV that was like a dance world or something. And then he's also the inspiration, allegedly, of the song "Cry Me a River." He's the one who supposedly had an affair with
Britt.
Yeah,
when she was dating Justin.
That's the whole rumor. Wade Robson. Yeah,
this got complicated. So he's in the documentary defending Michael Jackson.
No. It's essentially
changed his tune.
Wade Robson and a guy named James Safechuck, and it's explicit depictions of sexual abuse involving minors. So much so that one of the heads of Sundance announced before the movie that they have mental health counselors on hand after the movie if you need to talk to someone, because it is very disturbing.
I cannot watch that.
It says that their testimony is supported with love notes, audio messages that Jackson sent to the boys. So there's a lot of stuff that nobody has ever heard about that will be in this movie.
That sounds ugly.
Sounds real ugly. And they had to beef up security in Park City as well because of direct threats against this movie being shown. Because if you know anything about Michael Jackson stans,
they're pretty chill.
They are out of their minds about defending him.
Yeah.
If you tweet anything about Michael Jackson, you are going to have at least 50 responses from people that are like, he was acquitted. None of this is true.
Yeah, one.
It's cuckoo.
He certainly seems to get a pass with his music being played on the radio.
Yeah, everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. I'm not proud of this tweet. But before Michael Jackson had passed away, there was a tweet that was like, Michael Jackson has suffered a cardiac arrest. And I retweeted and put, not the arrest I was hoping for. Yeah, I did not get a good response on Twitter.
But you didn't.
Yeah, no. His fans are something else. Something else. Also, fans of Stan Lee are something else. Because do you remember when Bill Maher... very shortly after Stan Lee's passing, he decided to basically say that comic book culture is such a problem for Western civilization. He used time on his show, Real Time, to then continue that assault on Stan Lee comic book fans and mock adults for thinking comic books are profound. Here's what he said. To every person on social media who's asked me since November, Bill, what do you have to say about Stan Lee? And for every paparazzi outside a restaurant shouting at me, Bill, what about the Stan Lee thing? Well, okay, your day has come. He then goes on to say, I wasn't making fun of Stan Lee in any way, shape, or form. I was expressing my dismay at people who think comic books are literature and superhero movies are great cinema, and who in general are stuck in an everlasting childhood. Bragging that you're all about Marvel Universe is like boasting that your mother still pins mittens to your sleeve. You can if you want, like the exact same things that you liked when you were 10, but if you do, you need to grow up. That was the point of my blog. I'm not glad Stan Lee is dead. I'm sad you're alive.
He's such an idiot.
Here comes the man, Stan! Man, hey. Stan Lee! What the f***?
All right. Not helpful. So he said, again, my shot wasn't at Stan Lee. And then he moved on to Kevin Smith, who slammed Mar. He said, it was at, you know, grown men who still dress like kids. Bill Maher is such a tiny, angry man.
He really is. I will not have anyone disparage grown men who dress like kids.
Amen. Right? Amen.
By the way.
Yeah. Please. You guys need to get on this.
Have you seen the show?
Yeah.
Bill Maher, like what?
That's the worst.
Who cares?
He had on Ann Coulter this weekend, and it reminded everyone that they used to date. And I think that's just the perfect couple. They should have got married and lived in a treehouse.
By the way, I'm not piling on here. I am a fan of Bill Maher's, and I think he's a very bright guy who makes a lot of really good points, and I like his show, although I don't watch it very often. Mm-hmm. But there are times where you wonder why he picks the battles he picks.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he feels that way, that's a strange thing to go after.
It is.
I am not a fan of Bill Maher. I don't think he's very bright. I think he has people convinced he's very bright, and he masks his hatred for a lot of certain people under the guise of being smart.
And I think
you've been duped, Bean. You have been duped.
I think he lives in that world where, like, if something is proven wrong or if he's like, I'm a comedian.
I didn't mean it. These are jokes.
He's just a terrible, smug man.
Smug is a good word for him.
Way to go, Bean. Way to like him. Right?
I saw when he put his face in that Native American trying to drum the other day, and I thought, Bill, come on. You don't have to do that.
Yeah. There's a lot of you don't have to do that.
All right. Hey, guys. I love a good hustle. And I love a 10-year-old that has a hustle at the SAG Awards. This is a girl named Mackenzie. She plays the 10-year-old Kate in the show, This Is Us. So when they do the flashback, she's the young Kate in the show. She, listen, she had to go to the SAG Awards, but she also had some Girl Scout cookies to sell. So 10-year-old Kate tweeted out, hey, boxes of Thin Mints and Samoas available for purchase at table 34 inside the shrine. Who's in? I love you,
That's awesome.
I love that you did it. And let's be honest, two of the best cookies, right?
Agreed.
And you're sitting there during an award ceremony. Why not dip into some Samoas?
Any updates on sales?
Not in this article, but okay. I guarantee she probably did some damage.
Yeah, she cleaned up.
Yeah, very well done.
Especially if the actress who plays Grown Up Kate was there.
Wow. Oh, my God, Bean.
I'm just...
What is happening?
You are the worst human being. No wonder you like Bill Maher. You're both dicks.
But...
Wow.
Ugh. Happy... Right over Bean. Move it over Bean and then put him in the ground. Happy birthday, Elijah Wood, Ariel Winter, Sarah McLachlan, Nick Carter, Joey Fatone, J. Cole, and Rick Ross. That's what's happening.
Just thinking, Kevin, as we prepare to welcome our next guest to the studio, about the time we had in the guy who sticks beer cans on his head.
Yep.
That guy was an actual guest.
Suction cup face.
That's correct. That we had on the show. This is a far cry from that.
Sort of the same thing.
He is a professor of particle physics at the University of Manchester, the Royal Society Professor for Public Engagement and Science, and a fellow of the Royal Society. All that means he is smart as hell. Please welcome back to the show, Professor Brian Cox on Q1.
Hey, Brian. Pleasure to be here. I must say, actually, piling beer cans on your head might be an appropriate response to our position in the universe.
Oh, see?
You think about the...
So he was a good guest to have, then.
Yeah, the abject futility of being a small sort of
you're
bunch
on
of
for
atoms
30
on a...
seconds, and you're bringing this down. Seriously.
How many words am I going to have to Google during this segment?
All right, Professor Bummer.
I'm saying we're very small in a very big and possibly infinite universe. And then,
you were talking to our producer, Dave, off the air about that right before he went on, and he said that he was watching a show that was on this topic, and he felt incredibly small and kind of panicked a little bit and kind of got depressed about it a little bit when you see how little we matter. And you kind of agreed with them on that. We matter, you're talking about as a species, as humans?
I don't agree. What they actually said was that he found out he was insignificant and only believed it when Tom Hanks told him.
Right? That is what he said, but,
However, no, I actually don't agree with that. It's it is true that we are physically insignificant. So the current number of galaxies, the current estimate for the number of galaxies in the part of the universe we can see is 2 trillion. So that's
two trillion
galaxies, each one the size of the Milky Way, which has, let's say, 200 billion stars in it.
Oh, my God. How many suns?
Well, 200 billion suns per galaxy on average.
It's a good first question, though, Kevin.
I don't know. So it's
Kevin didn't know that stars were suns.
Yeah, how dare you?
No, he's right, though, because some of them are double stars. That's what he meant.
Yes, that's what he meant.
Thank you, Brian.
Now, Brian, I didn't want you to come in here and have to answer the same old dumb questions that you have to answer everywhere you go, but the big questions are the big questions for a reason, because they're the things that we as humans stay up late at night worrying and wondering about.
Yeah.
And you must get asked more than anything else about the possibility of life in other parts of the galaxy, right?
Yeah, and this is where I think we become significant, notwithstanding the fact that we're tiny, because we don't know that there's any life beyond Earth. We haven't found any. We strongly suspect there is. We've got missions on Mars at the moment. There's some of the moons of Jupiter and Saturn. So even in our solar system, we think there might be microbes around, but it will be microbes. And what we really mean when you ask the question, is there life? You sort of really mean aliens.
Are they civilizations?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've got, you can argue that there might be very few of those. In fact, I've got a friend who's a professor of zoology at Manchester University, and he likes to look up at the Milky Way and point to those 200 billion suns and say, all there will be there is slime.
How can that be, though? Don't you think there's somebody on Jupiter right now that's saying about Earth? They're saying, oh, I bet just microbes out there.
We know that. I mean, first of all, Jupiter's a gas planet, so there'll be no. But I know
how
you mean.
Do we know? I know what you
mean. We've also, been is know, the Earth but, round? These are questions that I haven't fully figured out.
Okay, maybe Jupiter was the wrong one. Let's go Mars.
Yeah. Well. Here is the point is that we've seen no evidence of any civilizations out there. So whilst there might be a lot of microbes,
not with that attitude.
If it's true that civilizations are very rare, that does make us valuable.
Yeah, you're making me feel very special.
Because this might be the only place where anyone can have a conversation in the galaxy. It's possible. Yeah, wow. That makes it very...
I just can't imagine we are so smart that we make iPhones and we're the only ones. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine cars and buildings and all those things are just us.
Think how long it took us to emerge. So the origin of life on Earth happened about 3.8 billion years ago, we think. We have good evidence for that. And it took 3.8 billion years, which is a third of the age of the universe, to even get to us.
Yeah.
To create this studio.
Right?
We're slow, I'll tell you that. Yeah. So it sounds like, Professor, you're saying that even if aliens were to come by, they could have come by long before there was life on this planet. Or will come by long after there is life on this planet, right?
That's true. I mean, there's been, over 13 billion years in this galaxy for life to evolve. So it could be that civilizations pop up and then disappear. And
yeah, we're not even a blink of an eye.
Yeah. I mean, we've been here for as a species, a quarter of a million years.
I saw something in the news this week. This is a Professor Brian Cox, who will tell you all about how you can see him live in Hollywood this May in a couple of minutes. I saw something on the news this week that confused me, and I think this is going to be a softball for you. But there was a lot of talk about a rock that they found on the moon that they think came from Earth.
Yeah.
What's that about?
That's quite an arm.
Yeah. How did that happen?
We know that there are Martian meteorites on Earth, for example. So we know that the Earth can get hit by something, bits of it can be thrown off, and some of that can land on the moon.
Crazy luck.
Yeah, so we know that stuff is transferred between planets. And that leads to that theory, which is probably not right, but it's at least possible that life could have begun on Mars, for example, 3.5-4 billion years ago, and then been transferred to the Earth on rocks. So
What would have caused a chunk of Earth, though, to get knocked out of our orbit and go all the way to the moon?
Oh, just hit by a big comet or meteorite, like the thing that wipes out the dinosaurs would throw lots of rocks, and some of them would escape in space. And I mean, we think the moon was created by a collision between the Earth and another smaller planet.
That's what I thought.
3.5 billion years ago. Wait, when I say we.
Yes, right.
But the moon, it plays such an important part in our entire existence. You can't, it was basically a mistake, a coincidence.
Yeah, we're pretty sure it was a planetary collision 4.5 billion years ago.
What is, Bean said he didn't want to give you the same questions that everybody else gave you. What is the thing that drives you crazy that most people just miss? They don't get. There has to be one overarching thing where
we're too dumb to comprehend.
Right, exactly.
Well, I think it's going back to what we just spoke about. It's our potential value and rarity. I mean, it is possible. There's a great physicist, Richard Feynman, who won the Nobel Prize. He was at Caltech. And he said that we are atoms that contemplate atoms. That's what a human being is. Now, it could be that there are very few places, on the average, one per galaxy at any one time, where atoms come together to contemplate atoms. So that means we are extremely valuable. And most people, I think, don't think about that. They think, you hear it said a lot that humans are just a thing that destroys the planet. The planet would be better off without humans.
Right.
Humans are the thing that thinks. We are atoms that think.
Okay, let me just bring up a contradiction. You started by saying we're nothing.
Yep.
Now you're saying we're amazing.
No, I was in the midst of a long answer. I got interrupted halfway through. So that's why. So I was going on to say.
Somebody wants to have it both ways. That's what I'm hearing. We're going to take a break, come back more with our guests. Tell us, for folks who can't stay with us or need to know immediately how they can see you live and in person, what happens Friday, May 24th at 8 at the Ricardo Montalban Theater in Hollywood? What is this show all about, Professor?
I have this big world tour that starts next week in the UK. And it's posing the questions we're talking about. It's given, what do we know about the size and scale of the universe? It is terrifying, in a sense, but it's also remarkable that we've been able to understand the evolution of the universe from 13.8 billion years to the present day. And what is the meaning of it all? Again, it's Richard Feynman said that once. He said, what is the meaning of it all? Well, I think that science at least is necessary to start to answer that question.
Is this a multimedia show? You'll bring slides or what?
Slides. I've got these huge LED screens, the biggest that I can fit into the theatre.
But do you have slides?
No, I got graphics. You know, Interstellar, the movie Interstellar. Mm-hmm. So the graphics company, DNEG, that did that, worked with me on. So, for example, we've made a black hole. A visual representation of a black hole using all the quotes, the code of Interstellar. Black holes are brilliant.
I bet I know what they look like.
They were our knowledge fails, basically.
Yeah.
Are you going to be in President Trump's Space Force?
He hasn't asked.
He hasn't asked. Wow.
I think you'd be a good candidate for it.
I'm waiting for that call. All right. I'm expecting the call.
He is Professor Brian Cox. Many more questions to come right after this on Kevin. Particle physicist Brian Cox is a professor, is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's from the University of Manchester. He has a live show coming to Hollywood at the Ricardo Montalban Theater on Friday, May 24th. Tickets are available right now through profbriancoxlive.com. profbriancoxlive.com. During the songs there, Kevin was going through each of the 950 papers that the professor has written and just tearing them apart. Saying, you were wrong here, you missed the
right
decimal
here.
Point there. Yeah.
But I did it off the air.
Yeah. You did it off the air, but it was good. It was good that you schooled him, though.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it is a different exercise having him in the studio than a grown man named Monkey who we had in last week.
That's right.
Slightly different.
A couple of quick things for you, Professor. I'm just going to hit a couple things that have come up on this show recently, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. Many of our listeners believe that they see ghosts. Is there any evidence in the scientific world to suggest that there's any kind of remnant left behind from people who die?
No.
That was a quick answer.
I'll give you a 30-second answer why I think that's the case. We're made of particles, right? Electrons and protons and all those things, the subatomic particles, and we know the behavior of them with exquisite precision. Right? That's what we do at places like the Large Hadron Collider. So we look how they behave. So if you think there's some kind of extra thing, a spirit or a ghost or whatever, that then obviously it has to interact with the particles that make up your body. So
right.
It has to, because it carries a picture, it looks like you when you die, presumably. And we have no evidence that there is any stuff that we don't understand in the universe.
Why do you think so many people are convinced they see ghosts then? Convinced.
Well, I think that the key point is that our perception is flawed. I mean, and we're very bad at understanding coincidences as well. And so we make, if you think about how many observations of the world the average person makes in a day, right? It's that millions and millions, probably, of little observations.
I mean, not me, but go ahead.
hundreds of tens.
Dozens.
And, you know, there are many hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people. And so sometimes that picture we have of the world goes wrong. And we're very bad at understanding coincidence and understanding when we misunderstand something that happens. I think that's much more likely than that there is some sort of force or some kind of other stuff in the universe that we've yet to discover scientifically.
But you're saying scientifically it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't
you're not saying scientifically we can prove that it doesn't exist.
You are. The thing is, you can never prove that something doesn't exist.
Right.
The great philosopher Bertrand Russell, you will know.
Sure, of course.
He said he had an argument about a teapot in orbit around Venus. And so you could say there is a teapot in orbit around Venus. Mm-hmm. And you can go, well, we don't think there is. And you say, well, prove it.
Yeah.
And of course, it'd be very, very, very difficult to go and search all of the space around Venus for a teapot.
Would that tea be very, very hot or very, very cold? Which one is Venus?
Oh, Venus is the hottest place in the solar system.
Oh, so it'd be way too hot to drink then.
Yeah. I like where you're going with this, though, B.
No, in orbit, it'd be cold.
Could I drink from that teapot?
He's right. It depends on the altitude. It'd be very cold in orbit, high orbit around Venus,
okay,
but it was on
good.
The surface.
There's a perfect temperature.
Kind of
there's a perfect temperature that if the teapot is exactly where it should be, where it would be drinkable.
There is a place on Venus, somewhere where it'd be drinkable.
All right, next question. I did ghost. Here's the other one that has come up recently on the Kevin and Bean Show. Millions of people around the world seem to put stock in astrology, that it matters when and where they were born in relation to stars in the heavens. What's that about?
Again, it's nonsense.
Nothing to it. There's no such thing as a Scorpio trait.
I don't really know what to say. It's, I mean, what would be, you know, I mean, you could say, well, What does it matter? How would it influence it? If Jupiter is in a particular position against the stars on the day that you're born, can that possibly have any influence? And again, no is the answer. The gravitational pull. Carl Sagan, one of my great heroes, used to say, the gravitational pull of Jupiter on the baby is less than that of the midwife.
Wow. I've said that many times.
Now, Ali, you have talked a lot about the moon affecting you, right?
This is really weird, but the moon... At certain phases of the moon, I feel differently. Like when we had the blood wolf moon last week, I had the worst cramping of my life. And I was like, I wonder if it's the moon having any effect on that.
Is it the moon?
No, I don't. No.
But let the man finish.
Professor Bummer.
Well, the thing is that there are... You know, there are a lot of things that influence our moods. And that's why, I mean, the sensible answer to astrology and things like that. You know, we're really complex individuals and we live in a complex society. And it, you know, from month to month and day to day and the you know, our moods can be affected by many things. But that's again, it's our perception. I think it's our feeling as human beings.
Okay.
There's no influence.
You can say there's no influence. It's our perception. How are women who room together or very close friends, how do their menstrual cycles then sync up if there is not something bigger than us that's pulling and changing things?
I was hoping we'd get to this question.
Yeah.
Talk mints.
I'm not an expert on this, but again, what's the most likely explanation? Is the most likely explanation that that's just the way that people are and the way that they think, and obviously the way that we think and our mental state affects the way our bodies function. We know that, you know, people. And so is it that, or is it some unknown force or phenomena or thing in the universe?
Brian, I'm asking you.
It's more likely to be that humans are just complicated rather than there is something in the universe that we don't all understand. That's a big leap.
All right, I have a question that I'm pretty sure we asked you last time, and that is, you, when you're not giving these speeches, you work at the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
Describe that for us.
It is it's 16 miles in circumference, so it's the biggest experiment ever built, really. And what it does is it collides particles together to recreate the conditions that were present less than a billionth of a second after the universe began. And the reason is that we want to understand what happened in those earliest times.
Sounds very easy to do.
How nature behaved. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It was, you know, it was built, but I think there are 88 countries collaborating now, including the United States. So it's a global effort. Really, the world can only afford and only needs one of those things. But if 100 countries come together, then it doesn't cost very much.
So here's my question.
That's what it is.
When we first heard about it, we read that there's a small chance that it might create a black hole and swallow up Earth. And we called and we were like, what? Tell us, what's the chance of that happening? Because you're going to create a black hole and destroy the Earth.
And they said, nope.
Did Again, they say nope? It says there's a small chance. Is there a small chance?
No. There are some theories that might allow it to create microscopic black holes, really kind of speculative but possible theories. But what we know about microscopic black holes, we do know that if you made them, they wouldn't do anything. In fact, they'd be very hard to spot.
But what if they all got together and made one big one?
And became a gang.
Well, you haven't got
What if they're just snapping like the Jets and the Sharks?
There isn't enough energy to make a big one in there. It's just possible. There have to be weird things. There has to be extra dimensions in the universe.
So you're saying it is possible?
Uh-huh. No, to make a microscopic black
hole,
we're
all going to die. It's because of this guy and his science.
But for the microscopic black hole to have any influence at all, no.
I'll
tell you what, one reason why we know that, because there are particles called cosmic rays, which are just particles from space that hit the Earth. And they hit the Earth with energies way in excess of anything that we can make at the LHC. So they're raining down on us now.
Somebody is part of the cover-up.
Nature were unstable collisions could destroy planets and things, then we wouldn't be here.
Are you in the pocket of big black hole?
I love those conspiracy theories. It's great, isn't it? Because on... What possible conspiracy could you build to hide knowledge about black holes?
Tell us, dude.
Right?
So tell me, why would it benefit? Who would it benefit?
Listen, as a flat earther, I don't know where to even start here. I'm not sure where to even begin poking holes in your things. But I'll just say, sir, I'm not appreciative of most of what you said.
Yeah, tickets are on sale now for way more of this live and in person. It's the Universal Adventures in Space and Time live show with Professor Brian Cox Friday, May 24th at 8 p.m. at the Ricardo Montalban Theater in Hollywood. Again, the website is profbriancoxlive.com. This sounds like a fascinating evening, by the way. It's always great to have you in, Brian. Thanks so much for the time. Please come see us anytime.
It's great to be. Can you ask me a question that I can answer yes to? That's next? Because I've just said no to everything.
Will the Rams win the Super Bowl?
I've no idea. Yes, yes. No, he's
all right, yes. He set you up, yes.
For God's sake.
My favorite professor.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
How boring and dumb do we seem now, by the way?
Right?
Like we didn't already. Now Dr. Cox is in and out of here, and you're left with us, Allie.
Isn't it weird, though? Just having the accent makes me believe everything he's saying just a bit more than I would if he was from, like, you know, Tuscaloosa.
Sure. He might be from Trenton. We have no idea.
We don't, do
like
we?
He said, almost everything can be proven correct.
That's so true.
Not wrong, though.
Oh, my God. He's from Trenton. He is
everything.
Up New Jersey, and we all bought it hook, line, and sinker.
For it. We fell for it. We sure did.
Oh, man.
All right, time for our final look at what's happening here on this Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
All I'm saying is I was getting texts from your wife during that, Bean, that cannot read on the air. Fascinating.
Dude's a dreamboat.
Fascinating just life that she has kind of figured out for herself and Dr. Brian Cox.
Oh, in her mind, she's already moved on?
Oh, she, yeah.
I'm her starter husband?
She might kill you, is all I'm saying.
Well, I wouldn't blame her.
It's true. You guys, I want to give you something. There's a new movie coming out in theaters February 14th, Alita, Battle Angel. But how would you...
Wait, what is it? I'm unfamiliar with this one. What is it? Tell me more.
Alita, Battle Angel.
520-1067. I love you.
Now. Don't call now.
It's an action-packed story of one young woman's journey to discover the truth of who she is and her fight to change the world.
Okay.
How would you like to see that movie? Well ahead of its February 14th release in theaters, you're going to see it February 5th at the Westwood Regency Theater. A pair of passes to the premiere, you guys. You're not just seeing it like ahead of time, ahead of people. You're going to the premiere. So give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take callers 10 through 14, and five of you are going to get a pair of passes to the premiere of Alita, Battle Angel.
It's Robert Rodriguez and James Cameron together.
And Christoph Waltz is in it. What else do you need to know? He does not make bad movies.
Right? You guys, this just disturbs me to no end. We all remember the horrible situation in Paris at the Bataclan nightclub where Eagles of Death Metal was playing and shots rung out and 90 people were killed by terrorists at that concert. And they have a mural by Banksy right outside of one of the exit doors. It's a beautiful picture. It's a veiled woman who's in mourning. It was stolen on Friday night. According to the BBC, a group of hooded individuals armed with angle grinders removed the door, placed it in a van, and took off. What kind of karma are you bringing onto yourself?
And what do you do with that?
What, exactly. You're not going to resell it because people are going to know that it was stolen. And I can't imagine it would be, would it be worth anything anymore if they know it is stolen?
No. No.
It's just, it's insanity. What is wrong with people?
Bad people there.
Real bad people.
Bastards.
Bastards, indeed. I don't like any of it. Speaking of bastards, the modeling agencies that work with supermodels like Bella Hadid, Hailey Bieber, Emily Ratajkowski are going to be hit with having to divulge some details about the payments that convicted fraudster Billy McFarlane made to them during the lead up to the Fire Festival.
Yeah,
all right. Remember, they were all paid to go there, take pictures, post on their Instagram about the Fire Festival.
That's how they got the buzz going.
Absolutely. Now a judge has signed off on subpoenas for those talent agencies. And they're looking into a $250,000 payment to Kylie Jenner in January 2017, where several months later, she posted an Instagram promoting the festival. So Will they have to repay that money? How does it work?
I don't know. That's odd.
I don't think so, because they lived up to a contract that they had made, so I don't think so. But they're probably trying to figure out where it came from and things to get him more locked up.
Absolutely.
I think God, I hate to say the words Instagram influencers, but I think they were operating in good faith.
I agree.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they had any idea what was to come after all of this.
It's hard to remember a time when Kylie was only getting $250,000 for an Instagram.
That's true. The good old days.
She's a million now.
yeah.
But the insane thing about all this is now when we see Instagram posts and you have to put hashtag ad, this was all due to this happening.
Yeah,
you have to now know when somebody is promoting something on their website or on their Instagram or on their social, whatever, you have to know it's an ad so then you can determine whether you want to believe its validity or not.
Hey, for folks who haven't seen the Fyre Festival documentaries, there's competing ones on Netflix and Hulu right now. Jensen, you watched them both. Which one do you recommend?
I recommend the Netflix one.
Netflix one.
I watched them both as well.
Info-based. Mm-hmm. It's a little, I don't know. It gives you more of the full story.
Absolutely. The thing with the Netflix one is it's more of a backstory, and they also tell of the hardships endured by the Bahamian people there. And the Hulu one is more Billy-centered, and it tends to be a little flashy, a little like, oh, here's our music montage, boom, into the next shot. So I think maybe
Billy
Hulu
doesn't give you anything.
He gives you nothing. But like I said before, you have to determine which is more ethically reprehensible to you. Do you want the Hulu doc that paid Billy to be in it, or do you want the Netflix doc that used all of F. Jerry stuff, made him a producer, so they could have all of that background material? And I say the Netflix one is just better.
Okay.
Plus,
I think that's a documentary that K-Rock listeners would really enjoy.
Yes,
that's
why
I
wanted
to
give
it another plug. I think you should watch both of them, to be honest. And I don't see how you can't not watch both of them. But that's just me, because I consume a lot of television and movies. But there is a scene in the Netflix one that will change your mind about what you would do for water. And I just think the whole thing is worth it just for that.
Just for that one line.
Good
Allie,
God.
Will you ever be that thirsty?
Never. Never.
And I mean that in all possible meanings of the word.
And it just raised so many questions. I won't give it away, but
the
man said he went back to his hotel, showered, brushed his teeth, used mouthwash. What are you doing, sir? What are you getting ready for?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, watch it. This will all make sense. It is so gross. Think he'll be at the Super Bowl?
Hope so.
I hope he's there.
Sure.
Right.
Hey, speaking of the Super Bowl, may I put in a plug?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to be broadcasting live, as you know, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from Hotlanta, brought to you by TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. And I am being informed by our producer, Dave, not only are they awesome and sending us to the city to broadcast, they're giving us new TVs.
All right.
Woo,
new TV.
All of us. That's incredible.
New TVs
for
TV. For the listeners.
No,
guys,
I was looking it up. TCL has an amazing TV, so I'm stoked they're giving it to
me. Right, but not for us. We're giving them away on the air Wednesday, Thursday,
Can't
and Friday.
Wait for my TCL TV is what I'm
saying. Because I was asking, hey, it's great that Kevin wants to go to the Superb Owl, but what's in it for the listeners? Now I have an answer. The answer is brand
new
TCL.
That we're getting TCL. TVs
nope,
because
brand new TCL.
TCL! TCL!
TCL! TCL!
For the listeners Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
For the listeners?
There's nothing stopping the listeners from giving us the TVs, though.
Just re-gifting them to us? Okay.
That would be so kind. Uh-huh. A little TLC for the TCL, huh? See what I did? I just switched some... What? Okay. Hey, some birthdays for you. Elijah Wood, Ariel Winter, Sarah McLachlan, Nick Carter, Joey Fatone, Jay Colin, Rick Ross. Happy birthday, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. If you missed any part of today's show, you can get the entire show on today's Kevin and Bean podcast at krock.com or radio.com on your drive home. Tomorrow morning, believe it or not, we're going to have some highlights of an interview with an old couple that figured out how to win the lottery. And they've won multiple lotteries.
Like million-dollar ones?
26 million so far.
Oh, my gosh. Mm.
There's
they
no formula.
It's their random drawings.
That's what the lottery official thought. And then the lottery official was like, I can't believe these two math nerds figured out a way to win the lottery.
Oh, I'm out.
I'm in. Are you kidding me?
Don't say math nerds. I won't even follow it.
Are they sharing the details of how they did it to the point where we could do it?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Plus, tomorrow morning, we have tickets to Death Cab for Cutie at the Hollywood Bowl, August 11th. And you're qualified for K-Rock Wheels Up 2019, which is Death Cab for Cutie in Sydney. We'll see you tomorrow.